What's going on, Texas? It's Bluff here. Are you sick and tired of going to the rodeo, eating that great Texas barbecue, and sweeping tumbleweeds off your driveway? Well, don't worry. You can take a break now. SpinQuest.com. That's SpinQuest.com is a brand new social casino with over 1,000 games available for you to play from the comfort of your own home. Instant cash prize redemptions, and new players actually get $30 coin packages for only $10. Sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Career changers, including veterans and active duty service members. Your transition starts here. Go from GI to IT in a matter of months. Become a certified cyber warrior with training at My Computer Career. Cybersecurity specialists are in high demand, offering IT pros great opportunities and a rewarding lifestyle while protecting our people, liberty, and treasured institutions from cyber threats. Deploy your career in IT today at mycomputercareer.edu/CWP, an elite CompTIA certification partner.
VA education benefits are available to those who qualify.
Deceit. Telling the truth is a revolutionary act. It's the David Knight Show.
As the clock strikes 13, it's Monday, the 22nd of December, year of our Lord 2025. Well, we have new calls for impeachment, not of Trump, but of Pam Bondi because of the Epstein issue. Is this a distraction? Well, yes and no. I have to wonder if people would be paying attention to the wars if this wasn't happening, or if they just tune out. But it does tell us a great deal about the character of the people who are leading us into these wars. And it's not just Trump or Clinton. It's also the CIA and the Mossad who are behind all of this. And that is what I think really is behind what the cover-up is really about. So we're going to talk about that. We'll also talk about what happened with a power outage in San Francisco. Kind of gives you a glimpse of what this technocrat dystopia will look like if we have the critical infrastructure that is very, very complex and interconnected. If it starts to fail, what's that going to look like? We'll be right back. Stay with us. Well, welcome back. And as we saw over the weekend, began on Friday after the show was over, they started, quote-unquote, releasing the files as required by the law, passed by Congress, signed by Trump. And yet, they've been accused of flouting the letter of the law. Well, you know, we're trying to do what we can. We only had 30 days, right? No, how about nearly a year? 295 days, actually, if you look at it. They've had to go through and make sure that victims were not mentioned in these files, but that's not really what they're concerned about. Do you think for a moment that they're concerned about victims? They're concerned about the perps. That's what they're concerned about. The criticism comes after the files were required by law to be made public on Friday. Thousands of files were released then, but it was not the full scope of the documents. Massey and Khanna, who co-sponsored the Epstein Transparency Act, said the Justice Department has 30 days to produce the files. That's what the act said, and that 30 days is up. In the past 48 hours, we've seen the Justice Department acknowledge that it's an incomplete release, but they've put out more than 13,000 files, said Margaret Brennan, who was interviewing them on the Sunday talk shows yesterday. They say more will come. This isn't everything you asked for just yet, but would you acknowledge that they're complying with the spirit, if not the intent of your law? No, said Massey. They're flouting the spirit and the letter of the law. It's very troubling, the posture that they've taken, and I won't be satisfied until the survivors are satisfied. He said, you know, I've said in the hours leading up to this release that we'll know if they're complying if they implicate any of the other criminals that were involved and the suspects that are involved. The witnesses, the victims themselves, have given the FBI, and they've never been mentioned. So then Margaret Brennan confronted Massey with his very specific benchmark of success. You said you know of at least 20 men who are accused of sex crimes known to the FBI. How do you know that number? And do you know those names, she said. Massey said the survivors' lawyers have told me those numbers, and they've described their professions in general. But they've only given me one of the names, and I mentioned that name in the congressional hearing, Jess Staley. So I searched these documents. I didn't see Jess Staley, nor did I see 19 other names. Staley is a former J.P. Morgan Barclay executive who admitted to in court that he had consensual sex with Epstein's assistant. And here we are back into Bill Clinton land, right? This is the way this thing always operates. And so this is what Massey had to say about inherent contempt.
What are you going to do about it to force them to comply? I mean, can you do anything?
Oh, absolutely. Look, people have talked about, and by the way, Todd Blanche is the face of this, but it's really the Attorney General's office, Pam Bondi, who is responsible. And there are several ways to get at this. Some take longer, some are shorter. The quickest way, and I think most expeditious way, to get justice for these victims is to bring inherent contempt against Pam Bondi. And that doesn't require going through the courts. And give her, and basically, Ro Khanna and I are talking about and drafting that right now.
Well, it'll be interesting to see. I think Dan Bongino just jumped off the rat ship just in time. But I don't know that that's necessarily going to spare him from being drugged into this thing in terms of hearings. You know, there's going to be a lot of hearings. They're going to ask questions of Bongino and of Kash Patel and of Pam Bondi as part of this, as this rolls out, I think. Any Justice Department official who has obstructed justice could face prosecution in this administration or in future administrations. Now, he gets out before the direct flaunting of the law. I mean, prior to that, it was just lying to the public, which politicians do all the time. And changing his story, we've shown you the clips of that, just like he did with the vaccine. It truly is amazing to watch these people lie and spin and think that we can't tell the difference. What we found out was the most important documents are missing, said Ro Khanna. They have had excessive redactions. The documents released Friday make only limited reference to Trump, even though the administration has acknowledged that his name appears in the files. Being named in the records does not indicate that Trump knew about Epstein's crimes, but let me add, hanging out with him for 15 years does. And the same thing is true of Clinton. Clinton wants to say, well, I was there before he was convicted of anything. You were there because you had no convictions. You should have been impeached. You did the same stuff that Jeffrey Epstein did. But, of course, Jeffrey Epstein's defense lawyer was the special prosecutor for Bill Clinton. Very special. He ignored all of the credible allegations of sexual assault and rape made by many, many women that Hillary Clinton just dismissed as trailer trash, right? Bimbos and so forth. Well, we know who the trash is, and they're not in trailers. They're in palaces. What we found out is the most important documents are missing. That's right, except for Clinton. And this is, I think, this an obvious strategy of the Trump administration. Let's put out every picture we got of Bill Clinton with Jeffrey Epstein, have him swimming in the pool with Ghislaine Maxwell and all the rest of this stuff. Redirect attention away to him. And Lindsey Graham is picking up the ball and running with that. Even Tim Kaine, who was Hillary Clinton's running mate, has thrown some shade on that. Said, yeah, they need to explain that. And I'm sure that they will. Well, they have been asked to testify, but so far they are stonewalling. Maybe they didn't learn anything from Steve Bannon, or maybe they think that they are so important, just like Steve Bannon thought he was, that they don't have to worry about getting charged with contempt of Congress, which they can send you to jail for, which is what happened with Bannon, unnecessarily. I mean, if he didn't want to talk about anything, all he had to do was just show up and take the Fifth Amendment. But instead, he decided that he was so important, he was just not even going to show up. Bill and Hillary do that, they're definitely going to wind up with the same thing, and they'll be there until they get a pardon from the next Democrat president, which may not be that long. Who knows? Well, one of the issues here, of course, is Les Wexner, the billionaire who gave Epstein his New York mansion. This guy has got all kinds of tentacles and everything. First of all, you know, you see him in all these different entertainment and social medias that are milieus that are pulling down our society, like the Victoria's Secret stuff. And I say that because of the event. You know, they're not just a store selling sexy lingerie, but the way that they did this. And it became a big event. And so he's part of that and many other corporations. He's made a lot of money with that. But he's also very well connected with Mossad. He's also very well connected, assert a lot of people, with organized crime. In particular, one murder that was there. A gangland type of murder. So he's the founder of L Brands Incorporated that now owns Bath & Body Works, Victoria's Secret, Abercrombie and Fitch. What a disgusting store that is. I mean, back in the 90s when our boys were young, we'd go around the other side of the mall to avoid passing that filthy place. It's just disgusting. Lane Bryant and The Limited are all his properties.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward, but that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
What's going on, Texas? It's Bluff here. Are you sick and tired of going to the rodeo, eating that great Texas barbecue, and sweeping tumbleweeds off your driveway? Well, don't worry. You can take a break now. SpinQuest.com. That's SpinQuest.com is a brand new social casino with over 1,000 games available for you to play from the comfort of your own home. Instant cash prize redemptions, and new players actually get $30 coin packages for only $10. Sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
He gave Epstein his 45,000-square-foot mansion right next to where he lived. I wonder what his motivation was in that. Imagine that. Somebody gifting you a 45,000-square-foot mansion in New York. How much would that be worth, right? Despite the Wexner Foundation conducting an independent review, quote-unquote, independent of outside sources looking at it, they claim that Epstein had no contact with the foundation staff after September 2007. Epstein was regularly consulted for approval and advice on financial transactions. This is the thing. Yeah, everybody's saying, well, the dividing line is when he got the sweetheart deal from Acosta. I don't think so. I mean, these people were hanging around him when he was doing the stuff that he was escaped convictions for, really, because that was a very minor conviction that was done there. The same thing that happened with Bill Clinton. The Wexner Foundation review found three main claims. One, that they played no role, that Epstein, rather, played no role in the management or administration of the foundation's operations. He had no meaningful role in the foundation's budget or finances, and that he did not make decisions regarding the use of the foundation's funds. All of these claims are now proven false based on a release of some emails that somehow made their way out. The truth is going to come out, folks. Wes Wexner has long been known as a financial donor to Israeli causes. According to emails, Epstein played a role in this funding by helping the Wexner Foundation finance pro-Israel charities like College Hillel's and Free Birthright Trips. Just 4 days before Epstein would plead guilty to soliciting a minor for prostitution as part of his infamous sweetheart deal from the guy that Trump then appointed as his labor secretary, a guy who had no experience in labor whatsoever. I mean, there's just guns smoking all over the place, folks. It's crazy. But anyway, this is what Wexner wrote him. Les Wexner's wife, Abigail, he said, Abigail told me the result. All I can say is I feel sorry. You violated your own number one rule. Always be careful. In other words, it wasn't the kind of thing that, I can't believe that you are a pedophile. I would have never suspected that you would do something like this. No, what he said was, where you went wrong was you weren't careful enough when you did this stuff.
I can't believe you were a pedophile who got caught.
Yeah, I can't believe you weren't careful enough to not get caught. You know, when we rape and we kill people, we've got to be very careful about this. What's the matter with you? Over the last several weeks...
He also violated my number one rule of not, you know, molesting and raping people.
Yeah, that's not in his list of rules, yeah. Or murder, evidently. Over the last several weeks, former Ohio State University athletes and survivors have protested, demanding that Les Wexner comply with a subpoena to appear for questioning in ongoing litigation related to sexual abuse by former OSU team doctor Richard Strauss. And so he's got connections with Richard Strauss. He has his lawyer is now sitting on the board. He's got all these connections to Ohio State. He gave him a lot of money, of course, in order to get these connections. It wasn't like he was a scholar or something. Wexner's name should not be on the Les Wexner football complex because he continues to defy subpoenas from lawyers representing students who are suing Ohio State for not protecting them from Strauss and because of his association with Epstein. Epstein and Maxwell were directly involved in funding this facility. They're referring to a $2.5 million donation by Wexner in 2007, which was matched by a donation from a foundation that was run by Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell. So $2.5 million from Wexner, $2.5 million from Epstein. It's something that OSU can be proud of. It's amazing. Wexner's personal attorney, John Zeger, is the chair of the Board of Trustees. They said a lot of stuff doesn't line up here. Zeger represents Wexner. He sits in there on that board. He's probably making a lot of judgment calls on whether to settle. And this guy's evading a subpoena. How is any of that right? Said one person who was commenting on it. Lawyers representing the abuse victims told a federal judge that Wexner's private security has repeatedly prevented process servers from serving him with subpoenas. Isn't that nice? You can have all these bodyguards who keep the people who want to serve you with subpoena at bay. Do this over and over again. He knows that they're serving him, but, you know, he can play these games. They said the attorneys have asked for an alternative way to deliver the subpoena, but the judge has not yet ruled on the request. So, yeah, you got to get past his bodyguards in order to physically hand this to him. Yeah, well, Wexner's Israeli and potential mafia connections have also been discussed. He's a prominent figure to Israel, donor to Israeli causes, but he's also considered to be one of the most prominent Jewish philanthropists. In 1986, Epstein was introduced to Wexner by Robert Meister, an insurance executive who provided insurance for Wexner's clothing company, The Limited. And it was Meister's wife, Wendy, who introduced Les Wexner to his future wife, Abigail. She was a young Israeli-American attorney with her own connections to the State of Israel. Her father, Yehuda Kapel, was a former commander of a special operations unit of the Haganah, the main Zionist paramilitary organization. Yehuda Kapel was a key player in the founding of Israel's military intelligence. Again, it all goes back to Mossad and CIA and the fact that this is a blackmail honeypot. That's the key information. And I think that more than anything, that is why Trump is stonewalling. He's doing it for Israel. He's doing it for the CIA. He's doing it for his masters, I think. Otherwise, there isn't anything that could come out of those files. I mean, everybody knows that he hung out with Epstein. There's not anything that could come out of those files that would be any more damaging than what the public already knows about Trump. They just want to keep as much as possible these criminal organizations protected, Mossad and the CIA. That's why I think this is very important. This is not just a salacious story about sexual depravity amongst the elite. That's an old story. We've known that for the longest time. It's like what I say about, you know, Candace Owen focusing on Macron's wife and trying to prove that she's actually a man. It's like, well, we already know she's a pedophile. Anybody that did what she did with Emmanuel Macron as a much older teacher when Macron was her student, if you do that in the U.S., you go to jail as a pedophile. End of story. What else do you need to know? And what is the point of pursuing that except for views, right? The important thing that we understand is where these people are coming from. We need to define their character. I think their character has been defined. Clinton's character has been defined. Trump's character has been defined. Macron's character has been defined. But the question is, what's going on with the people who really run the government? The CIA, the Mossad. Rumors stem from a 1985 murder of an attorney, Arthur Shapiro. The murder was described as a mob-style slaying and immediately set off an investigation by Columbus Police Department. The murder remains unsolved to this day. The main suspect was a man named Barry Kessler. He was found guilty in at least one other murder for hire plot, and he was sentenced to death, but he never admitted to killing Arthur Shapiro. By 1991, the Columbus Police Department's Organized Crime Bureau had researched and written a report on Shapiro's murder. It was not initially made public, but later became known after it was revealed that the Columbus police chief, listen to this, had ordered its destruction. The police chief was temporarily suspended for his actions. Not fired, temporarily suspended. So you have the organized crime unit does this thing, and he wants it destroyed. Why? Well, we later found out it had some connections with rumors stemming from the 1985 murder of Arthur Shapiro, pull in this, and it turns out that despite the efforts to destroy this, the so-called Shapiro file, the Columbus Free Press was actually able to get a hold of it, and they published it in the late 1990s. The report was described as having, quote, unsubstantiated allegations, but it specifically named Les Wexner and his businesses as having relationships with individuals believed to be associated with organized crime families. So why was that police chief, who then, by the way, didn't lose his job? He was getting suspended, and so he, I guess, got a paid vacation for doing that, a reward, and he's back in the saddle again. Les Wexner, through the Limited, is associated with at least two organized crime families who are associated with the Pittsburgh crime family. That's the thing, folks. The mafia, the intelligence agencies, I mean, just like we saw the JFK thing, there's all these different connections happening with them. Why? Because the CIA operates, and all these intelligence agencies are organized crime. The difference is they've got a flag and a song, and they've also got an unlimited black budget. And the money that they get is secret. What they do with the money is secret, and what they do to other people is always held secret. The CIA is the worst kind of organized crime.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want to be honest with you for a second about how an act of compassion really feels. A couple of years ago, I made the choice to partner with an amazing organization called Compassion International. Why? Because I wanted to sponsor a child in need. It was a nice idea, sure, but I had no idea just how much that simple act would change my life as well. I sponsored Nadia and got to watch her life change right in front of my eyes, going from starving literally alone on the streets to getting the health care and education she needs to reach her God-given full potential. I got to be a part of that change, and the light of that compassion not only illuminates in her, it illuminates now in me. That is the power of compassion. The light of Christ shines on all of us. Feel it for yourself and change literally a child's life. Change the world, and you also change yourself. You can sponsor a child today. Visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
It's Bretzky. I don't know how they let me on this podcast, but while I'm here, I might as well tell you the only place to play blackjack, roulette, and live craps in Texas is SpinQuest.com, baby. That's SpinQuest.com. New users get a $30 coin package for only $10. I mean, that's a hell of a deal for all you 10-gallon hat wearers down there in Texas.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
The Epstein victim, Maria Farmer, has finally been vindicated after this. This is one thing that came out of this. This is from Brian Shalhavi. She had claimed for many years that she had contacted the FBI about Epstein way back in 1996, but they did nothing about it. The FBI and others said, that's not true, you didn't contact us. Well, now they have seen with the documents that she did. That's the one thing, perhaps the only thing that's come out to show that the FBI was lying? You mean the FBI lied about being contacted and a whistleblower contacting them and telling them what was going on with Epstein? They ignored it and shut it down. Just like the FBI under Cash Patel and Dan Bongino lied about and tried to cover up this whole thing. The FBI, FIB, fib. That's what they really need to do, call it. This is a 1996 child porn complaint that she filed with the FBI. And about a decade before investigators began scrutinizing his predatory behavior. And as I've said before, I believe that that was Trump who knew about all this stuff and was fine with it until he had a real estate fight with Epstein. And then he did this to get even. I'm absolutely convinced of that. Absolutely. There's no question in my mind that it was Trump who turned him in. And Trump who knew. And you even had Mike Johnson saying, hey, you know, he was a witness against him. You know, he was an informant, is what he said. Right? Well, how do you be an informant if you're not privy to what's going on? And it wasn't like he goes to a party and it's like, whoa, I'm going to talk. He hung out with the guy for 15 years before he informed on him. And he informed on him right after they had a real estate fight. Maria Farmer has for years said she called the federal investigators in the summer of 1996, but the FBI has never publicly acknowledged her original report, not even to her. Some people had accused her of inventing the story. After the release of thousands of Epstein files on Friday, the New York Times contacted Ms. Farmer about a report stamped with a date of September 3rd, 1996. She broke down in tears and said, I've waited for 30 years. I can't believe it. They can't call me a liar anymore. Yeah, well, when the fib, the FIB, calls you a liar, it's probably because you're telling the truth. Ms. Farmer said she was grateful to be vindicated, but heartbroken that the FBI didn't take stops to step Epstein until years after her report. They should be ashamed. They harmed all these little girls. That part devastates me. The FBI did not respond to requests for comment, as you would expect. I can just imagine when the face of Cash Patel, as he reads that news on the New York Times, his bug eyes. Looks at that. Thomas Massey had stated in an interview that he would know whether or not the DOJ had released the files because he talked to the victims and they had said there were 20 very rich and powerful men. They talked about what they were in, but they only gave him one name, as I said before. So what happens now? Well, after the partial release on Friday, on Saturday, they removed some photos. A photo of Donald Trump and more than a dozen other Epstein files mysteriously disappeared on Saturday, the day after. So it was the disappearance happened the day after. The missing files that were available on Friday contained a photo of Trump alongside his wife, Melania, Epstein, and the pedophile's long associate, Ghislaine Maxwell. Of course, we've also seen many pictures like that, because it wasn't that they got together just once. This is a regular thing. Other images included paintings depicting nude women and one showing a series of photographs along a credenza and in drawers. The unexplained missing files fueled speculation about what was taken down and why the public was not notified, compounding long-standing intrigue about Epstein and the powerful figures that surround him. It's the institutions, folks. It's not just the individuals. Yes, it is individuals, but it's also the institution. I think that's really what they're most concerned about protecting. So the most consequential records expected about Epstein are nowhere to be found in the initial disclosures. Missing are FBI interviews with survivors, internal Justice Department memos examining charging decisions, and records that could have helped explain how investigators viewed the case and why Epstein was allowed in 2008 to plead guilty to relatively minor state-level prostitution charge. They might also have some information in there as to why Acosta, the prosecutor at the state level, the federal prosecutor, was told to go easy on him. He's got connections with intelligence. That's the real issue, always. Deputy Attorney General Todd Blanche acknowledged in a letter to Congress on Friday that the release was incomplete, that the Justice Department said that it plans to release records on a rolling basis. The department was not given any notice as to when more records might arrive. Now the question is, why so long? You know, you've had months of delay, months of lies and fake releases. And the first fake release was back on February the 27th. And look at how they have paid the price in terms of public opinion. It's been very damaging to them, and they know that. I mean, they live by the opinion polls, so they know that. You got Mike Johnson shutting Congress down, keeping it shut, refusing to allow a woman to be signed in, keeping Congress out, keeping Congress in, keeping the House in recession while the government was shut down, which is not what they did before. Even though the government was shut down, Congress still met, but Mike Johnson used that as an excuse. They took their August recess. He took it out a week early so they wouldn't have this vote that produced the law that is now producing this conflict that may result in the impeachment of Bondi. Look at all the things that Trump and Johnson have done to try to delay and to hope that this goes away. And they're saying, well, we only had 30 days to look through this stuff. They were looking through it before. That's one of the reasons why they did the delay. So the ones that were new were often lacking necessary context, or they were heavily blacked out. Republican allies seized on the Clinton images, including photographs of him with Michael Jackson, Diana Ross, Chris Tucker, Kevin Spacey, even Walter Cronkite. That's the way it is. Of course, he was somebody who was connected with the Bohemian Grove and all the rest of his stuff. Walter Cronkite was one of the biggest gaslighters ever. Just amazing to me. It truly is, when you look at his reputation, doesn't match the action that we see. None of the photos had captions. There was no explanation given as to why any of them were together. The media's records released so far show that federal prosecutors had what appeared to be a strong case against Epstein in 2007, yet they never charged him. That included intelligence. They're the ones who tell you what to do. Included testimony from FBI agents who described interviews they had with several girls and young women who described being paid to perform sex acts for Epstein. The youngest was 14 and in ninth grade. Another, who was then 21, testified before the grand jury about how Epstein had hired her when she was 16 to perform a sexual massage, and how she had gone on to recruit other girls to do the same. For every girl that I brought to the table, he would give me $200. They were mostly people that she knew from high school. She said, I told them, if they think that you're underage, just lie about it. Tell them that you're 18. And, of course, this all goes back to Alex Acosta, that Trump chose to be labor secretary. Why do you think they chose him, right? Well, Alex Acosta had backed off when they told him that it was intelligence? You think maybe intelligence told Trump to pick him? They don't have any connections prior to that. So, again, as corrupt as the rest of them, you know, why would Trump even have picked him without any experience in what he got him for? Well, the Midas Touch, or Midas Touch, I guess is the way they put it there, but they are a very anti-Trump organization. However, if the shoe fits, wear it. And so they show that there was a previous document that Trump's name was in, and they have a screenshot of that. You can see that on the Twitter, Lance, if you want to pull that up. There you go. So you see these two documents, and in the original release, Trump's name was there. Then it got blacked out. So they've actually redacted it more than they did before. So there's impeachment threats against Bondi. Ro Khanna and Massey went on. He said, Massey and I are different. We don't do memes. We don't do speeches. He said, we take action to fight a corrupt system. Except, you know, Massey has said, this really has, he has said himself, it goes back to Mossad, it goes back to CIA. We'll see if they fight those corrupt systems or not. Congress is talking about possible impeachment, said Khanna. They're talking about inherent contempt for the Attorney General or the Deputy Attorney General. The Deputy Attorney General, Todd Blanche, said Sunday that DOJ officials are ready to take on impeachment proceedings or other retribution from Congress. He said on Sunday, he argued there's well-settled law in a case like this. They're redacting information very much trumps some deadline in a statute. When asked whether he was worried about Massey and Khanna's...
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about Alejandra. She lives in a remote community with very few resources and little to no health care. So when Alejandra gets sick, her parents have no real options, no doctors in their community, and no money for real medical care. By the third day, her body was shutting down. She woke up and just long enough to tell her mom, I can't take the pain anymore. I can't keep going. Her parents drove hours to find a doctor who tried everything, but she needed a private hospital, and that was impossible for her family to afford. And that is when Compassion International stepped in. Now, through Compassion, Alejandra was treated, and against all odds, she survived. She lived because someone, just like you, took action. Right now, unfortunately, there are children just like Alejandra who won't survive unless someone like you steps in. Compassion International partners with local churches, providing children with the support that they need, critical medical care, plus food, education, and the hope of the gospel. All in Jesus' name. So help a child just like Alejandra today. You can visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
It's Bretzky. I don't know how they let me on this podcast, but while I'm here, I might as well tell you the only place to play blackjack, roulette, and live craps in Texas is SpinQuest.com, baby. That's SpinQuest.com. New users get a $30 coin package for only $10. I mean, that's a hell of a deal for all you 10-gallon hat wearers down there in Texas.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Impeachment threats? He said, not even a little bit. We're doing everything that we're supposed to be doing. You know, it's interesting, I think. Blanche, with his name, he's got an E on the end, but if you just have Blanche without the E, that's a verb. It's to whitewash something. How ironic, isn't it? Because this is the guy who also did the long interview with Ghislaine Maxwell and then moved her to a very much better prison, right? Country club. Khanna, in a separate Sunday interview with CBS Face the Nation, seemed to back off of his impeachment threat, suggesting the most expeditious way to get justice for these victims is to bring inherent contempt against Pam Bondi. He said that doesn't require going through the courts. I believe we'll get bipartisan support in holding her accountable, and a committee of Congress should determine whether these redactions are justified or not. Well, here's Massey on the cover-up.
It's that simple.
Why do you think he is working so hard not to get them released for so many months? What do you think the real reason is?
These files implicate billionaires and friends of him, of his, and of political donors that he's trying to protect. And Epstein also had close ties to our own intelligence agencies and Israel's intelligence agencies. That's why there's so much effort in trying to stop this. And I do believe they'll try to stop it somewhere else. And that's going to backfire on them, too.
So the president.
Exactly. You know, this whole thing about, oh, well, you only had 30 days. No, they passed the law because you were dragging your feet. I mean, you release this stuff with a lot of fanfare and BS. Remember the influencers that showed up? All these people, libs of TikTok and this other guy, you know, these, and interestingly enough, they're not just big Trump supporters. They were hardcore Zionists. They figured they would be complicit with the cover up. And of course, they had to tell people what they had, and they had nothing. It wasn't like they could say, yeah, we got all this stuff. Well, then what did you got that's new? Well, actually nothing. And so this whole thing was a sham from the beginning. That was 295 days before the deadline. And they did everything they could to delay, to stall, to divert interest away to other things. As a matter of fact, one person says, well, all of the following have happened since the release of the redacted Epstein files that nobody's talking about. The U.S. just took control of another oil tanker off the coast of Venezuela. The U.S. has bombed Syria. Netanyahu is briefing Trump on a possible war with Iran. This is called distraction. Well, certainly that's what the news media is talking about, but there are some articles about all this stuff, and we will be talking about all this stuff, but it is important that we look at the people who are dragging us into this war are the same people who are running honeypot blackmails with minors. That's the real issue. If you get to the CIA, if you get to the Mossad, you're going to get to the bottom of these wars as well. That's the issue here. Both of these things can be looked at. And again, people are going to focus on the salacious sexual content, but would those people pay any attention to the wars if that wasn't reported? I really don't think so. So don't mistake two of this week's attention-getter stories. Trump renaming Kennedy Center in his own honor in the unveiling of the unpresidential plaques at the White House. They are clickbait. Yes, they were, but it also tells us something very important about Trump. And so it's worth talking about those things. Republicans were willing to let the government shutdown linger in order to avoid reopening and the inevitable passage of the Epstein Files Transparency Act, even after the shutdown ended. Speaker Mike Johnson delayed swearing in newly elected Democrat representative for 50 days after her special election because she was the last one to fall into place to make sure they had enough votes. None of this is surprising. Not the DOJ's failure to comply with the law. I mean, this has been a hallmark of the Trump administration. Failure to comply with the law. Make me, right? They do whatever they wish, and then they defy you to force them to do something about it. It is a hallmark of corruption, folks. The arrogance and the defiance of the law. That's what we see time and again with the Trump administration. As the Times noted, close to 20 women have publicly accused Trump of groping, forcibly kissing, sexually assaulting them, behavior that he once bragged that he could get away with because of his celebrity, but later denied ever engaging in. In 2023, E. Jean Carroll won a $5 million civil judgment against him for sexual abuse and defamation. The public's interest in understanding whether the president had more than a social friendship with Epstein is grounded in that context, and understandable. But we don't, it's not even an open question when you look at the fact that he was hanging around with him. And then you have Bill Clinton, who faced impeachment only over Monica Lewinsky. He wasn't convicted even of that, even though that case was clear. That was Clearly, he lied under oath, and that's what it was about. It wasn't about his conduct with Monica Lewinsky. That's what all the Democrats that I've talked to, oh, you know, what about that? And it's like, it wasn't about his conduct. It was an kind of an impeachment trap that he lied under oath. But I think that he really did all of those things. I believe the women who accused him of that, they were very credible, I thought, far more credible than Bill and Hillary. So the issue is the perjury that was involved with that. And that's why it's also important, the cover-ups, the lies, the violation of laws, these ancillary things in order to cover up something that is also a crime or something that just may be embarrassing. Those things are also important. So what is the point of all this? Many people said 90% of the released Epstein files are redacted. Some of them just a sheet, everything is blacked out. Is that a release? No, it's not. So it sparked a firestorm of criticism over the heavy-handed use of the literal black pen. You know, I wonder if the next president will continue this new Hall of Fame walkway that Trump did with the portraits of the president, and he put the picture of the auto pen of Biden. I think maybe the next Democrat president would take Trump's picture off and put a black pen up for redaction. Trump is redacting his own administration, actually. Over 100 pages are redacted, leading many to wonder what was the point of releasing them in the first place. Trump administration stated that release was intended to provide closure and to demonstrate a commitment to government honesty. They really think you're going to believe that. Just the opposite.
Unfortunately, it shows about how committed they are to government honesty.
Yeah, that's right. They should be committed. we had, we're doing an adoption. We had a lawyer ask us why we'd gotten out of the video business. I said, well, because of our convictions. Oh, I need to know the nature of those convictions and what the charges were. No. It's our Christian convictions. But, I said, that's the only, you have lawyers, that's the only kind of convictions they have is criminal convictions if they're there. Same thing with politicians. Unfortunately, most of the pages were kept hidden, and the mass redaction immediately raised eyebrows on social media. Lawyers reportedly worked on the files from Thanksgiving week until the day of the release. No, they had a very, very long time. If you go from February the 27th to December the 19th, that's 295 days. And I don't even know that you start the clock with that, because they had already deliberately, well, there you go, thank you, Les. See, just one black page after another. There's a picture, no context. And then more black pages. And there's a, you know, a plane or this or that, this there, pictures of this. Users discovered the majority of the pages showed nothing but blacked out text, like you just showed there. So what was the point of releasing all this? Well, in order to defy the law, as they argued that they complied with the law. And we look at a release of just page after page after page of blacked out text. Do you remember when all this pandemic and the Trump shot was going around and Pfizer and everything? Well, in the EU, you had Ursula von der Leyen had some very private conversations with Albert Bourla. And they wanted to get that information. And they also wanted to see more information about the vaccine itself. And so you had several members of the European Parliament held a press conference. They said, we demand information. And this is what we got. And they held it up. And it's black page after black page after black page. All of it redacted. They said, this is not a release.
Well, law says you have to release some documents. It doesn't say there has to be text on the documents or photos. Here's some black squares that fulfills the letter of the law.
And see, that's it. You know, defying the law while saying that you complied with it. Everybody sees what this is. And this is something that really is an American invention, the national security state, where we can't tell you anything. Everything is secure because the security that they're looking for is their job security and keep themselves securely out of prison. That's why you have national security, folks. The significance of these files lies in their potential to expose a sprawling network of international power, wealth, and systemic abuse. We have names for that. Mossad, CIA, That's what it is. That's the International Network of Power, Wealth, and Systematic Abuse. It's also the International Network for Assassinations, for Wars, for Coups.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward, but that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Are you in Texas, and are you tired of not being able to play blackjack, roulette, and even craps? Well, guess what? I got the solution for you. SpinQuest.com. That's SpinQuest.com. Has over 1,000 slots and table games you can play from the comfort of your own home, absolutely free, with the ability to win real cash prizes. Now get in your big diesel truck and go play SpinQuest today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
So, after they discovered a picture of Trump, after they released the documents on Friday, they removed it. On Saturday, the image in question identified, and they have the file number here, reportedly depicted an open desk drawer containing multiple personal photographs. Among the items visible were a picture of Trump alongside several young women as a separate photo of him with Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell. After they removed it, it left a conspicuous numerical gap in the digital archive from 467 to 469. So they didn't even go back and renumber anything. House Oversight Democrats said, Bondi, is this true? What else is being covered up? We need transparency for the American public. And so, again, as I mentioned, the people that are on there, we got Kevin Spacey, Bill Gates, Mick Jagger, Diana Ross, Michael Jackson, Richard Branson, the billionaire, the man formerly known as Prince, Andrew, and Bill Clinton, of course, over and over again. It's a club, folks, and you ain't in it. And be thankful that you aren't. Congress's rule that demanded that they release all unclassified documents related to the investigation has been defied by this stuff. So even Senator Kaine is calling on Bill Clinton to explain the large presence in the Epstein files. Again, Kaine was Hillary's running mate. And so on a Sunday show, he said Clinton should address questions surrounding the files linked to Epstein. He said, he was asked, rather. Bill Clinton is featured prominently in the first batch, as I was discussing just now. To be very clear, NBC News does not know the full context behind these images. Simply being in the Epstein files doesn't imply any criminal wrongdoing. But does Clinton owe the public an explanation about his relationship with Epstein? And Kaine said, well, you know, I actually haven't tracked what Clinton has said. And if there are unanswered questions, you know, he should address them. I suspect that he will, except they are defying the subpoena to talk to Congress, both Bill and Hill. Clinton's link to the disgraced financier has been known, and he's not faced any allegations of wrongdoing. Well, maybe that's thanks to somebody that they had. This is a small circle of people. We keep seeing the same ones over and over again. We keep seeing people like Alan Dershowitz over and over again. And also the other guy who defended Jeffrey Epstein was the guy who was supposedly the special prosecutor for Clinton, who looked away from all of the very credible cases, allegations from people like Juanita Broderick and others about sexual assault and rape, and went with lies under oath about Monica Lewinsky, but even that he couldn't get a conviction for. Didn't try too hard, I think. And, you know, so he does that for Clinton, then he covers for Epstein. Ken Starr. And he's operating under the cover that this guy is a Christian, right? He wears that on his sleeve. That's his trading card. I'm a Christian. And then he goes to a Christian university, and after having defended Jeffrey Epstein and Bill Clinton, he defends an entire football team from charges of sexual harassment and assault. And then that cost him his job at, I think it was Baylor where he was. But that finally outed him, this third strike. But I figured, you know, I guess he figured, hey, if I could cover for Clinton and for Epstein, it's not possible that entire football team could do more than they did, right? So why not, right? Just warming up with that. So it wasn't just the picture of Trump that disappeared. They had 16 photos that were taken down on Saturday. More than a dozen photographs, as a matter of fact. They follow him around, got a, you know, it's amazing when you look at the number of photographs that Jeffrey Epstein has. I wish I had that many photographs of my life, the people around me and things like that. Unfortunately, I didn't. Evidently, he had a full-time photographer following him around, taking pictures of him.
Many hidden photographers, all of which are very qualified with Mossad training.
That's true. And that's not even counting all of the video cameras that he's got embedded in the ceiling and things like that, the various rooms that are there. But it is amazing, you know, somebody find that photographer and ask him what's going on. He was there all the time. So, again, you know, when we look at Todd Blanche, it's not – he was in charge of releasing these documents, and he was the guy who was – the one who interviewed Ghislaine Maxwell for that lengthy amount of time, then puts her in Club Fed, a very nice facility to spend her time there till she gets her pardon. The guy, Todd Blanche, the guy who whitewashes all this stuff. And remember, when we talk about it being the intelligence agency, Ghislaine Maxwell was even telling us. So Alex Acosta has told us that. Layoff, he's with intelligence. Remember when everybody was saying, why did they come after Jeffrey Epstein but not after Ghislaine Maxwell? Remember how that went for a long time before she was arrested? And remember how she trolled the intelligence agencies? She very deliberately had her picture taken holding a book. Remember that? The title of the book was Book of Honor, The Secret Lives and Deaths of CIA Operatives. Secret lives and deaths of CIA operatives. Would that have been referring to Jeffrey Epstein, saying he was a secret operative? Maybe instead of honor, maybe they should talk about horror, the horror of what the CIA does over and over again. So DOJ brass, including Bondi and Kash Patel, have now attempted to downplay the Epstein file for months, 295 days as of Friday. With Bondi going so far as claiming in June that the release of more files was neither appropriate nor warranted. A month later, reports surfaced that she had told Trump that his name was in the files. So Blanche is saying that he's going to put these out on a rolling basis. I think it's more likely they should be on a roiling basis. R-O-I-L-I-N-G. In other words, it's going to be constant agitation. Constant turbulence. And part of this, it may be used to distract people's attention from war and other things, because that's not really very interesting to most people. Most Americans don't see war as an abstraction. And, of course, they've been so propagandized by Hollywood, they think that we're capable of winning every war, even though we've lost them all since World War II.
I think the real reason for the rolling basis is that they're going to release the stuff with the Democrats first, and then the Democrats will say, oh, well, ignore all of this. It doesn't matter. And then when they release the stuff with the Republicans and the Democrats try and hold that up, they can say, oh, look, well, you ignored it before.
Yeah. Well, they got Blanche there to whitewash it all. So the clock began ticking, he said, when Trump signed the Epstein Files Transparency Act on November 19th. No. The clock started ticking when he took office because he'd promised to release them. And I'm not even counting that. I'm counting when he did his phony release. How can people look at that and not see a cover-up? And that was 295 days before this. So Blanche said that the DOJ's review protocol conformed to the law, that attorneys redacted material that identified victims showed child sex abuse would imperil an investigation, showed images of death, physical abuse, or injury, and or contain classified national security or foreign policy information. In other words, so all the crimes, especially the heinous ones, were covered up since nobody was charged. What they're saying is that if you've got situations that involve victims, if it shows child sex abuse, well, they're going to keep it secret, but they're not going to charge anybody. How about if it shows death, physical abuse, or injury? Well, they're not going to show you that information or let you know about it, and they're not going to charge the people who did it. Think about that. Think about that. 1,200 victims. 1,200 names being identified as victims in this. 1,200 of them. And yet, it was all done single-handedly by Jeffrey Epstein. None of these other people had anything to do with it. So they said we excluded, and this is what they said we excluded. It's a good article from the New American listing the details of this. So there's nine things that they said we're going to redact for. Anything with Jeffrey Epstein, including his prosecutions, investigations, or custodial matters, going to redact that. Same with Ghislaine Maxwell. Then they're going to redact anything that has to do with flight logs or travel records for any kind of aircraft, vessel, or vehicle. Then they're going to redact any individuals, including government officials, named or referenced in connection with Epstein's criminal activity. So if it's a government official that's joining him in criminal activity, you're not going to be allowed to see that. And they say this. This is what we're going to cover up from you. Any entities with known or alleged ties to Epstein's trafficking or financial...
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about Alejandra. She lives in a remote community with very few resources and little to no health care. So when Alejandra gets sick, her parents have no real options, no doctors in their community, and no money for real medical care. By the third day, her body was shutting down. She woke up and just long enough to tell her mom, I can't take the pain anymore. I can't keep going. Her parents drove hours to find a doctor who tried everything, but she needed a private hospital. And that was impossible for her family to afford. And that is when Compassion International stepped in. Now through Compassion, Alejandra was treated, and against all odds, she survived. She lived because someone, just like you, took action. Right now, unfortunately, there are children just like Alejandra who won't survive unless someone like you steps in. Compassion International partners with local churches, providing children with the support that they need, critical medical care, plus food, education, and the hope of the gospel, all in Jesus' name. So help a child just like Alejandra today. You can visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Are you in Texas and are you tired of not being able to play blackjack, roulette, and even craps? Well, guess what? I got the solution for you. SpinQuest.com. That's SpinQuest.com. Has over 1,000 slots and table games you can play from the comfort of your own home, absolutely free, with the ability to win real cash prizes. Now get in your big diesel truck and go play SpinQuest today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Central networks. So that would protect Mossad and CIA.
I mean, the whole part four seems to be, we're just not going to release any of the information that you want, any of the stuff related to who is committing mm-hmm. these crimes. That is literally the whole thing. Yeah, we know that there were sex crimes going on at this island. The question is, who are the individuals involved, especially the government officials?
Mm-hmm.
It's
mm-hmm.
absolutely ridiculous.
But yeah, they're especially not going to, they mentioned nothing about immunity or plea deals. So we're not going to tell you anything about the discussions that were going on with Alex Acosta or anything like that. None of that's going to be allowed. And so, yeah, it is. It's just a complete cover-up, and it's right in your face. No, we're not going to release anything that is of any substance that might get anybody else in trouble. Any immunity deals, any non-prosecution agreements, any plea bargains, any sealed settlements involving Epstein or his associates, that will not be released. Any internal Department of Justice communications will not be released. All communications, memoranda, directives, logs, metadata concerning the destruction, deletion, alteration, misplacement, or concealment of documents will not be released. This is to protect themselves, because they're the ones pushing the DOJ communications are the ones pushing with the directives and other things to cover up, to delete. And finally, the documentation of Epstein's detention or death. Any witness interviews, any medical examiner files, any autopsy reports, any written records detailing the circumstances and the cause of death, and or whether he actually did die, which I'm not 100% convinced of to this day. There were questions about it. And so, again, all of that will be kept secret. So let's start out with, how will you know if they've released all the materials, said Massey. And I would say that if Massey and Khanna are serious about this stuff, they ought to begin with that list of nine things and say, how dare you exclude this stuff? You're not authorized to do that. That was an exclusion that came up, that was created by Todd Blanch. So Todd Whitewash came up with those rules, and it's absolute hogwash. They need to call him out on that. Well, how will you know? And again, he said, I've talked to the lawyers in private. They've told me, you know, they've come up with 20 names, although they wouldn't give me only but one of the names, and somebody who was already publicly linked to all this stuff. But they told me about them and what industry they were in and that type of thing. So none of those names were there. So he said collectively they come up with that. So he said if those names are not in there, we know they have covered it up, and they have. So the issue is there, this, folks. It's not the DOJ and the FBI that are the real issue. The real issue is the CIA. And this article that was on Zero Hedge is from Larry Johnson, who used to be an analyst for the CIA. He says, the CIA is broken. Can it be fixed? No, it can't. The reality is the CIA is pure evil. We need an exorcism to get this demon out of the federal government. It is a cancer that has metastasized throughout the government. And so he talks about Cy Hirsch and his Cy Hirsch's article about bad intelligence about Ukraine that is affecting, you know, Trump is being lied to, as he says. And I don't think that I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to try to give Trump an alibi for what he's doing. He's responsible. He's a big boy. He appointed these people. He appointed the person that he accused of lying us into the Iraq war with lies about weapons of mass destruction obtained by torture, Gina Haspel. He put her in charge of the CIA, so he's fully complicit with all this stuff. It's no excuse. But this guy goes back through some of the specifics, the fact that the CIA is saying that both Ukraine and Russia are on the verge of economic and military collapse, that Putin is facing economic, political, military, and public pressure, that the banks have cut off all loans to the civilian population. None of this is true. And when you look at the massive army that Russia still has, over a million in arms and so forth, and the fact that Russian wages have actually increased more than their rate of inflation, and that they are making loans, there's no prohibitions on domestic lending to Russian individuals, all of this stuff is a lie. And it is easily disproven by a lot of other independent sources. And so this guy who used to be an analyst for the CIA says, so why does the CIA persist in peddling provably false information? And then he makes it all about John Brennan and an institution that he put inside of the stuff. But he's looking at it from the standpoint of just being an analyst and of just informing the president as to what's going on. The president would be much better informed about what is going on if he just looked at social media rather than CIA briefings. But the reality is that they do more than just analyze information and present it to the president. Again, they're involved in assassinations and coups and starting wars and sexual blackmail, all of this stuff. Why do we have an organization like that? It is the foundation and the linchpin of this abomination we call national security. We have been more secure before we had, quote unquote, national security. We didn't have that for the first 150 years or so of this country, and we were all much more secure. These people are constantly doing evil things, not just to foreigners, but to Americans as well as drawing us into one war after another. It is not about intelligence. It is a black op with a black budget. They have unlimited amounts of money. They can do things in secret. They're above the law. It attracts a criminal class. And I think that that kind of money and power is going to corrupt somebody that's not even criminal to start with. It's got to be taken out. That's reality. When are we going to redact the CIA? That's the bottom line, folks. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and we will be right back.
You're listening to The David Knight Show. Listening to The David Knight Show.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want to be honest with you for a second about how an act of compassion really feels. A couple of years ago, I made the choice to partner with an amazing organization called Compassion International. Why? Because I wanted to sponsor a child in need. It was a nice idea, sure, but I had no idea just how much that simple act would change my life as well. I sponsored Nadia and got to watch her life change right in front of my eyes, going from starving literally alone on the streets to getting the health care and education she needs to reach her God-given full potential. I got to be a part of that change, and the light of that compassion not only illuminates in her, it illuminates now in me. That is the power of compassion. The light of Christ shines on all of us. Feel it for yourself and change literally a child's life. Change the world, and you also change yourself. You can sponsor a child today. Visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Even take a photo on a phone, there is machine learning in the background.
Highest quality video capture ever in a smartphone.
In the metaverse, we're going to need AI that is built around helping people navigate virtual worlds as well as our physical world with augmented reality.
Augmented reality is a profound technology.
That includes like your position in 3D space, your body language, facial gestures.
We invented new intimate ways to connect and communicate directly from your wrist.
Everything from virtual reality to designing our own data centers.
Describing what's coming even, it's just so different and new. I've been in this infrastructure business for, you know, three decades.
No one has ever seen infrastructure like this.
Now, I expect that these trends will only increase in the future.
In the last few months, we launched voice and vision capabilities so that ChatGPT can now see, hear, and speak. Supports up to 128,000 tokens of context. That's 300 pages of a standard book.
That's all AI generated. Actually, let's add in some Alto Cumulus clouds. All right.
Break free of the technocratic nightmare this Christmas and go back to basics with a David Knight Show bookmark and notebook. This high-quality embossed metal bookmark with a full-color design on the back is guaranteed to be cross-compatible with all physical books. And the beautiful faux leather notebook is 100% hacking proof. An ideal gift for fans of the David Knight Show or anyone looking to start a journaling or prayer journal habit. No bells, no whistles, just pen and paper. Available at davidknight.news. Merry Christmas. You know, we... Maybe when we went to break, I didn't realize I'd gone on for an hour. I guess should have brought out the hook and pulled me off stage. But I went on for an hour, and we have something very important today. I Am Marty offered to do matching funds today on all platforms, as a matter of fact. And we really want to thank him so much for all the support that he's given us in the past and today. And so I failed to mention that, and I went for an hour about this other stuff. And so... just want to remind you, I Am Marty is doing matching funds today if you would like to help us for this short month that we have.
On all platforms, including snail mail.
That's right. We got a special meme there that he sent us, I think. Was that from Marty, I think?
Yes.
Yeah. That's good, Marty. I like that. Lance is back with us today, and he's been working on a special project. And but of course Travis is not back with us yet. They went back to Austin to visit relatives for the holidays. He'll be back, but not before Christmas, that we are going to have the holiday here with it. But anyway, let's talk a little bit about some Christmas things. It was an interesting situation in the UK a grocery store chain as well as, we'll get to that in a moment, grocery store chain pulled a card from the shelves over one person complaining. They have operators who are standing by to enforce any kind of censorship for any kind of DEI reason. But before we do that, I haven't read the comments either. I'm getting way behind. So we have first one here from Guard Goldsmith. Good to see you, Guard. Liberty Conspiracy is where you can find him. His broadcast weekly evenings as well as Substack. Pull it down there, Lance. It scrolled off there. Yeah, I got so many of them. The exclusion of girls' faces on the shots indicate that they likely were victims, implying things about the males in the pics. Yeah, we can kind of draw our own conclusions, especially because one of these things, they said there was a toddler's foot in it. I didn't pick that up, but Megyn Kelly comes to mind when we talk about that kind of issue here. I don't know. I guess, does she have a problem with 14-year-olds? Just amazing, her reaction, all this stuff. Big Brit is back again, says BlackRock is now buying up utility suppliers. They will have a monopoly on that. Yes, everything is moving to a monopoly. And unless we have a big reset of everything, they are going to, they're putting the shackles and the chains on us in every different direction. It's truly amazing. KWD68, by the time the Epstein drama ends, the skies will be filled with AI-supported drones to keep us in line. That's right. And probably narratives about UFOs as well. M. Seller says, Les Wexner has ruined Columbus, Ohio. It is over-the-top globalist. The interstate system and more, it also has creepy vibe, no more of a Midwest wholesome feel. Yeah, you know you can feel that in a lot of different places, can't you? I've been to places where we definitely felt that. Places that we're thinking of moving to, and it's like, there's something wrong here. You really can get a vibe from some cities like that. And that's one of the reasons why we're here in Tennessee, the buckle of the Bible Belt. Skankala Rose Garden says, they gifted one subscription to David Knight Show. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Pezon Avante, 1776. I think I saw a clip about Epstein's New York City mansion that said it was worth $77 million. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. 45,000 square feet. That's probably a deal if you can afford it. Except who would want to live there? I mean, that's maybe creepier than a house with mass murderers going on. Who knows? They might have had mass murderers there for all we know. The Real Octospook says all Epstein property, wealth, money, etc. will be stolen in plain sight. The victims will get a pittance if they get anything. That's one thing that our justice system is not really focused on, and that is any kind of compensation for victims. And not even in civil court will they be able to find anything there. A citizen of Americaca says, like Thomas Massie said, as soon as power shifts hands, you can expect the next administration's attorney general to bring Bondi up on charges. Yeah, there's no statute of limitations on that. But you got a lot of people willing to put their head in a noose for Donald Trump. Maybe what he'll do is what he didn't do for J6 people, and that is preemptively pardon her. That's an option for him. Otherwise, why would these people be doing this kind of stuff? Why would they be committing crimes and lying for Donald Trump if there wasn't an implication of a pardon in the works? But, of course, can you really count on Trump? Is he loyal to the people who support him? I'm not so sure. Jerry Alitalo says, I'm about to launch catastrophic Vietnam 2.0 criminal war against Venezuela, but you're still talking about Jeffrey Epstein? That creep? Yeah. Yeah, he does. It's a hoax, right? Well, he was, right? It is a hoax, but the hoax is not is what he's doing, not what the other people are doing. Wally Walrus says, Ghislaine's pardon is on its way. Remember when Trump said, I've heard that name before, but I haven't heard that name for a very long time. And you see picture after picture of them hanging together as a foursome or whatever. It's amazing. New Republic Rising 83 says the FBI sat there for 10 years knowing that he did child porn, etc. If they ever did have a backbone and wanted to bag him, they were probably scared off by the CIA and Mossad. The CIA has superior tech. They would have known it. But, again, that's a good point. Even if the CIA wasn't involved in it, which I believe they were, they would have known because they're watching all of these people. And all of these different things happening. Wally Walrus said, I'm so glad my schools aren't in, my girls aren't in the schools anymore. Army recruiters, Epstein recruiters, etc. Yeah. Nadlander says, nobody's getting impeached, nobody's going to jail, nobody ever does, nobody ever will. That's right. But it is important for us to know what these people are about, just like the Constitution. They're not going to obey it, but it's important for us to know what criminals they are. Citizens Americaca says, first they said it was a hoax. Trump is like, why is everybody still talking about this Epstein guy? It is a hoax. Now it's all redacted for security purposes. How can it be a hoax and be redacted for national security purposes at the same time? Well, I think the redactions tell you what national security is about. National security and the CIA and the federal government is all about crimes that they don't want you to see. Everything that you do must be available to them, but nothing they do, even when they're engaged in pedophilia. Are you allowed?
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward, but that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
What's up, baby? It's Bretzky, and I'm here to tell you that SpinQuest.com is giving out free sweeps coins. All you gotta do is purchase a $10 coin pack, and guess what? They're gonna give you the coins from a $30 coin pack. That lets you play all your favorite games like Blackjack, Wanted, Dead or Wild, and we're talking real cash prizes, baby. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
To see, especially then. The Real Octo Spook says, Bonnie told you the truth. It's all redacted to protect the victims, not the pedophiles. Yeah, yeah. I guess that's sarcastic. Old Toys 62. The women chose to do what they did for money, whatever Epstein's operation was. It wasn't slavery or forcing people to do something they weren't willing to do. It's private business. It's not the public. I disagree strongly with that. Strongly with that.
Yeah.
Because we're talking about underage girls. And this is the argument that we've had about the tranny stuff all the time. And it's why we have prohibitions about underage. At a certain level, even if the girl consents, it is still statutory rape because they're not mature enough to know that. And that's why this whole thing with them gaslighting people over sex change operations and mutilations is so abhorrent. Because we've known for a long time that children can be manipulated. That's why we don't give them the right to vote, to drive cars, to own guns under a certain age. And that's why we don't allow even consensual sex, because it's too easy to get them to consent to something that they will later regret, to something that they would not consent to if they had the judgment of an adult. So I couldn't disagree with that more.
Yeah, I put that up just to discuss that, address it, but it reminds me of the thing we were just covering where the girl was saying, oh, well, just tell them you're 18, as though these CIA and Mossad spies can't see through the lies of a little teenage girl under the age of 18.
Yeah,
this is right. Obviously evil. I mean, it's...
They know. They know. And, you know, people lose their licenses at alcohol places where they serve alcohol or gambling casinos if... somebody comes in and they're underage and they don't card them or whatever. And a lot of times somebody will have fake ID and they still should know that. Stealth Patriot, thank you very much for the tip. I appreciate that. He says, well, golly, I told you Trump wasn't in the Epstein list. Ignore the pages of Black Bloc. Merry Christmas, David and family. Thank you very much. Appreciate that self-patriot. And I just want to remind everybody that I Am Marty is doing matching funds today on all platforms. On all platforms. So thank you so much, Marty. Appreciate that. And Max, Diddy held his 45th birthday party at Trump's Plaza Hotel. We know that he liked and mic'd up locations with cameras, and Trump is said to attend Diddy's parties. Yeah, isn't it interesting? You know, Trump is hanging out with Diddy, Andrew Tate, all the rest of these people. Andrew Tate thinks, oh, I'm not going to get a pardon, and comes to Mar-a-Lago. They have LGB festivals there in Mar-a-Lago, and the MAGA people are just absolutely amazed that Trump is not releasing this stuff. It is make America doublethink again, you know? That is what this is really about. Real Octospook. Ghislaine was able to use the pedophile's fear of exposure to save herself. Yes. But I think it's more than just the individual pedophiles. I think it is the blackmail network behind it that is even more important. The Mossad, the CIA, the people who get us involved in wars over and over again, involved in assassinations and coups. But let's get back to, let's talk a little bit about Christmas and get onto something that's a little bit more interesting, even though this is kind of a crazy angle on it. A Christmas card has been pulled from a large grocery store chain in Britain, one of their biggest, Sainsbury. It was a card that one person campaigned about it being transphobic. What was it? You can pull this up, Lance, and show it to him. The Grinch is this Christmas, I'm identifying as a Grinch. Oh, you can't say I'm identifying as anything. That is transphobic now.
Wait a minute. Are they saying that this person who identifies as a Grinch isn't a Grinch? Isn't that...
Well, actually, that is the irony of this whole thing. The person who is getting them to take down this Christmas card is really a Grinch, although they're not identifying as a Grinch. This whole identifying thing, they say, is a joke. And I've said this for the longest time. I've said, look at how they've changed this. You know, they used to tell everybody there's a gay gene. You know, you're naturally wired this way. It's not a choice. And I said, then they have reversed this whole thing by saying, well, you know, people can choose to identify as this or that. And now gender becomes your choice. You get to choose your gender. There's nothing at all biological about it. So first they told us that something that was a choice was hardwired. Now they're telling us that when you decide that you're going to get rid of what is really hardwired in you, and that is your physical body, you're going to try to change that. Now that's not a choice. That is also hardwired into you. Sophie Molly, a transgender influencer, said, transphobic Christmas card in my local Sainsbury, please do better, Sainsbury. And then she later went to other LGBT organization press outlets and said, the card belittles the identity of trans and non-binary people. Trans people don't choose to identify as their gender. It's part of who they are. Being trans is not a choice. Yes, it is. Of all things, it is. I mean, how in the world, of course, there's nothing rational about any of this stuff. But, you know, when people say that there's a homosexual gene or whatever, how in the world can you say that you're physically wired to be a different gender? It's utter nonsense. Gaslighting. Lying. So she said, cis people are saying that they identify as something. It tells the world that they think that it's a choice to be trans. It is. Something that you can switch in and out of. Like playing dress up. But this is not true. And so the corporation is going to go along with that. They said, you know, the funny thing is she actually does identify as Grinch.
They think it's like dress up, but really it's dress up and surgery.
Yeah, the dressings that you get after surgery, I guess. So they're not just done with that. The government is looking to shut down Christmas songs. And Labor's got what they call a banter ban. They have passed a law called the Employment Right Bill that obliges people running pubs, the publicans, to protect their staff from any offensive lyrics of songs that might be sung. You know, pubs were a place where people would go and get drunk and sing songs and stuff like that. No, 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 you can't do that. You might have something that is offensive. And so we have to protect people from that. And so they want to make the pub owners their little Stasi snitches and enforcers with all this stuff.
Protect people and criminalize singing offensive songs like Jingle Bells.
Yeah, Jingle Bells. That is supposed to have racist origins, they said. Or, you know, do they know it's Christmas? They said that stereotypes the continent of Africa. Or baby, it's cold outside. Oh, that is something that the Me Too movement doesn't like, and on and on. Sitting in a pub with a glass of wine while loudly singing along to a Christmas song is a much-loved tradition in the UK, but its days may be numbered as pub landlords now have to ban offensive lyrics under new laws requiring them to take all reasonable steps to protect staff from third-party harassment. Employers will have a legal duty to prevent harassment by third parties relating to protected characteristics such as race, religion, sexual orientation, or age. They said it's being turned, and they're being turned into banter cops, forced to police what their customers say. Toby Young of Free Speech Union said that the banter ban would lead to the policing of harmless fun in pubs, bars, and restaurants, giving the skulls and finger waggers another pretext to stop people from enjoying themselves. The governments didn't listen, insisting that we're being alarmist, but a ban on Christmas music and carol singing will be the least of it. Prepare to live in a country in which every hospitality venue is micromanaged safe space, overseen by a lanyard-wearing banter bouncer. Welcome to Keir Starmer's Britain, he says. Well, I don't know how they're going to get their Christmas cards out or their letters to Santa Claus.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward, but that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
What's up, baby? It's Bretzky, and I'm here to tell you that SpinQuest.com is giving out free sweeps coins. All you gotta do is purchase a $10 coin pack, and guess what? They're gonna give you the coins from a $30 coin pack. That lets you play all your favorite games like Blackjack, Wanted, Dead or Wild, and we're talking real cash prizes, baby. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
In Denmark, they're now shutting down their postal service. After 400 years of delivering letters, they've decided to end as of the 30th of December. They say that Danish society has become increasingly digitalized, and we don't need this anymore. And so the iconic red boxes that they use in the country for mail, thousands of them have been shut down, and they went for huge amounts of money. And they all went immediately as they auctioned them off. It's ending more than a 400-year-old tradition. Announcing the decision earlier this year to stop delivering letters, PostNord, which was formed in 2009 by a merger of Swedish and Danish postal services, said it would cut 1,500 jobs in Denmark and remove 1,500 red post boxes amid the increasing digitalization of Danish society. The company said demand for letters had fallen off drastically, while online shopping continues to increase. So they've decided that instead they're going to just focus on parcels. They're not going to do letters anymore. It took only 3 hours for 1,000 of the distinctive post boxes that have already been dismantled to be bought up when they went on sale earlier this month at a price of about $300 each. And so they said Danes will still be able to send letters using the delivery company Deo, which already delivers letters in Denmark, but will now expand its services from the 1st of January from about 30 million letters to 80 million letters next year. They expect it to go up. The interesting thing is, a couple of interesting things about this. First of all, the mail will still get through. It'll be done by a private company rather than a government company. And this private company has taken this on because they said, we actually see an uptrend, not a downtrend. They said younger people, 18 to 34-year-olds, are sending 2 to 3 times as many letters as other age groups. They're starting to see value in it. They said when you get something hand-delivered in the mail, somebody knows that you have paid to deliver it to them. And so it has more value to them than email that they get or something that they get electronically. And so it's actually kind of a countercultural thing that is happening there. Of course, it also gives you more privacy. The postal system has, for the longest time, run mail covers on things. They take pictures of everything that is in the mail. I thought it was interesting when we moved here and I did the change of address online. They started sending me email pictures of all the mail that they deliver each day. But they've been keeping those images for a very long time. That was one of the reasons why the government insisted on running the postal system, because even without opening your mail or trying to look through it, they can look at who you're sending mail to and who you're getting it from. They can make some judgments about that. That's kind of the metadata, if you will, of snail mail that is there. And so the government likes to have a hand in that. Well, the interesting thing is that even if this doesn't work out for the private company, Danish law says that there must be a way for mail to be delivered. So if the private company doesn't make money doing this and they have to get out, then the government will have to do that. They'll be required by law. Somebody else will have to do it. Where is Lysander Spooner when we need him, right? You know, that's the story. Lysander Spooner started his own mail service in competition to the U.S. Post Office because the Postal Service was really jacking rates up sky high at the time. And he was responsible for getting them down for quite a while. And he was responsible for actually having an act of Congress saying that the government would have a monopoly on delivering mail because one guy was doing it so much more effectively than them. They didn't want him to be able to do that. So under the Denmark's national ID system, all official communications are sent digitally rather than by physical mail. But today they said only 5% of Danes are getting postal mail. A scarcity of physical letters has increased their values because people know that if you write a physical letter, if you write it by hand, you've spent time and you've also spent money. And that's one of the things that the younger people are looking at. Well, there's interesting wordplay about Christmas. As you know, we've talked about with music, it's kind of, I like Christmas and I like Christmas music because it goes back and encompasses a lot of different styles historically. You know, it goes through a lot of different genres of pop music and decades of pop music. But prior to that, there's an ancient history of music. And the same thing is true of language. This is an article from World Magazine talking about the exalted language of Christmas, a style of speaking, writing, and singing that's aimed at emphasizing the high spiritual significance of the birth of Christ and the various traditions surrounding its celebration. It's elevated vocabulary, ceremonial syntax, ornamental imagery that we use to highlight our gladness and our joy. Some of the exalted vocabulary words of Christmas are archaic and antiquarian, yet we gleefully sing them in hymns and anthems, hark and yon, deck and don, jolly and jingle, gild and gloam, hither and thither, lore and yore, aye and air, glistening, glittering, hail and herald, glad tidings and sure abidings. Now, it has a broader musical vocabulary of styles and historical stuff, and also because of that, you have a broader vocabulary of lyrics as well. Some of the exalted vocabulary words of Christmas are holdovers from various linguistic threads that created modern English. Yule, another word for Christmas, comes from the Norse word Jule, the 12-day season from Christmas to Epiphany. The Nog and Eggnog comes from Nig, the style of winter ale brewed in 17th century Essex, but its origin goes back to an even older Scots Gaelic term, meaning beer warmed with a fire. Merry is a word that comes to us from Anglo-Saxon, meaning both courageous and joyful. It's not just happy. It's courageous and joyful, both bold and gladsome, as in Robin Hood's Merry Men, or Shakespeare's Merry Gales and Merry Weather. Some borrow directly or transliterated from other languages. Nativity and Noel, fetching and festive, tidings and Tannenbaum, Gloria and Excelsis Deo is Latin. Joy comes from an old Norman, which in turn is passed down from Latin. The Dutch mistletoe, Greek carols, Latin Advent, and Norman tinsel. All these have...
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want to be honest with you for a second about how an act of compassion really feels. A couple of years ago, I made the choice to partner with an amazing organization called Compassion International. Why? Because I wanted to sponsor a child in need. It was a nice idea, sure, but I had no idea just how much that simple act would change my life as well. I sponsored Nadia and got to watch her life change right in front of my eyes, going from starving literally alone on the streets to getting the health care and education she needs to reach her God-given full potential. I got to be a part of that change, and the light of that compassion not only illuminates in her, it illuminates now in me. That is the power of compassion. The light of Christ shines on all of us. Feel it for yourself and change literally a child's life. Change the world, and you also change yourself. You can sponsor a child today. Visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Whether it's slots or live dealers, SpinQuest.com has the fun and action you're looking for with SpinQuest exclusives. Blackjack, roulette, baccarat, and even live dice with craps and bubble craps. The games never stop, so you don't have to. And right now, new users get $30 coin packs for just 10 bucks. Play now at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Flowed into the English melting pot. We wrap our Christmas presents in baubles and bows, shiny paper and fleeced ribbons, and we decorate our homes with holly and ivy, mistletoe and yule logs, twinkling lights and conifer trees, ornaments and nutcrackers, but it shouldn't surprise us then that we adorn our sentences with exalted vocabulary as well, the festive language of Christmas. And then as we look at some of these Christmas carols, this is an interesting article about a dark, ancient lullaby that became a Christmas carol, Coventry Carol. The Coventry Carol stands out not just for the haunting melody. The carol's shocking subject matter is the children King Herod murdered in Bethlehem following the birth of Christ. This carol is not just about the birth of Christ, at least not directly. It's about the terrible events surrounding Jesus' birth as chronicled in Matthew, and that is the massacre of the innocents. And when you go back and look at the lyrics of it, I used to always think, before I saw this, just this right this moment here when I was looking at for this show, Herod the king in his raging. I thought it was in his regime. I always thought it was Herod the king in his regime, but it's Herod the king in his raging. Charged he hath this day his men of might in his own sight, all young children to slay. The original song came from a medieval mystery play. Historian said, we don't know who wrote the Coventry Carol, either the text or the tune. But that's the thing that I think is so interesting about it, is the medieval chord progressions that are there. What we do know is that Coventry's mystery plays themselves date back to the 1300s and the 1400s. The carol appears much later in the early 1500s, written into a particular pageant called Shearman and Taylors. And so I think it's interesting, you know, that's the thing about the Coventry Carol. Again, it's about the violence that was conducted by Herod. And we see at Christmas time so often this contrast between war and peace. You know, as we talked about last week, I heard the bells on Christmas Day. Again, you know, that was not the peace that Christ came to bring the first time. But, you know, there is that dichotomy between love and hate, between gifts and greed, between life and death, that is always there. And we've seen it before in other stories, like the story about World War One and Silent Night, and how it created a truce that really started to expand. And the leaders got really worried that the grassroots people were not going to fight each other because they made common cause over Christmas and being Christians and Silent Night and so forth. Well, there's also a contemporary aspect of war and peace with a Coventry Carol that really goes back to World War II. This was originally a podcast talking about the origins of the Christmas Carol. But if you go back and look at Coventry, England, and what happened there in World War II.
On the evening of the 14th, 15th of November, Germany launched their largest aerial raid of the war on the city of Coventry. Over 500 bombers flew over the city in repeated waves and launched incendiaries and heavy bombs across the city. The bombing actually started at 7:30 in the evening, and the all-clear didn't go off until, I think, just before 8 o'clock the following morning. Waves and waves were coming in, one after the other. So it was 12 hours of solid bombing.
I am speaking from the ruins of Coventry Cathedral. 6 weeks ago, the enemy came and hurled down fire and destruction upon our city from the sky, all through the long night. So many lives were lost, so many homes destroyed.
So the BBC, every Christmas, would have a Christmas carol service which would be broadcast across the empire. And clearly, the only place, the obvious place to choose for the broadcast for that year was Coventry Cathedral. And a service was held in the ruins.
And our cathedral nave and chancel utterly burnt and brought to the ground.
Provost Howard famously spoke about building a kinder, more Christ-childlike world.
We are trying, hard as it may be, to banish all thoughts of revenge. We are in brave spirits and can wish the Empire a courageous Christmas. Here around me in the ruins are the few we could muster of the cathedral choir, and they're going to sing our ancient Coventry Carol.
Describe it as much more subdued and subtle. There's a little bit of a haunting tone that's sitting with me in a way I'm not sure what to do with or think about.
You can't have the incredibly hopeful carols that you cling to without having a reason to cling to them, which is being aware of your own weariness.
You have to have the full story of the Nativity in the early years of the church. There was good and bad.
That, for me, is actually what this carol's about. When we know that there is darkness and sadness around us, sometimes we just have to sit with that for a bit.
In a way, it's festive, in its own melancholy way.
Thank you.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward, but that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
What's going on, Texas? It's Bluff here. Do you like playing casino-style games like blackjack, baccarat, craps, and slots? Well, SpinQuest.com, that's SpinQuest.com, has over 1,000 games available for you to play from the comfort of your own home. New players get $30 coin packages for only $10 and instant cash prize redemption.
Now, what are you doing? Put that barbecue down, quit sweeping those tumbleweeds, and get to playing.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
You're listening to The David Knight Show.
I wish I had a Christmas night album.
Hot dog!
You can get the Christmas night album at thedavidknightshow.com for just $13.99. It's right in the second floor there, see?
What'd you wish, George?
Well, not just one wish, a whole hat full. First, I'm going to thedavidknightshow.com and purchase the Christmas night album. Then I'm going to listen to Christmas classics, like... Are you going to throw a rug?
I want the Christmas night album, too.
Hey, that's pretty good.
Buffalo gals, can't you come out tonight?
Can't you come out tonight? David's Christmas night album includes 21 instrumental Christmas melodies like God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen, Silent Night, and is all new I'll Be Home for Christmas.
What do you want? You want the moon?
Just say the word and I'll throw a lasso around it and pull it down.
I'll take it. Then what?
And then I'll buy you your own download of David Knight's Christmas Night album.
You're listening to The David Knight Show.
Back, and I want to thank people who have just contributed to us. And, of course, today we have Marty. I am Marty, is doing matching funds today. So we really appreciate that. Thank you, Marty. And Karen just came in and reminded me. He said he would cover snail mail contributions, but they need to be told to us today as a pledge. So you can put it on there as a pledge and then send it later. So if you were going to have that included in the matching funds, you would need to put a comment there and tell us that you pledged that somehow. Thank you for Love of the Road, a gift subscription. And Colombo 27, thank you very much. He writes, Merry Christmas. And I could write, I guess, maybe, oh, one more thing. The hallmark of Colombo, but thank you so much for the gift. Radis Bro, thank you as well. He says, yes, all mail is scanned. Beware, and informed delivery is over the course of the week, if you read the bottom. Your friendly poster worker. Star Barkley, thank you very much. Merry Christmas to you all and to the Amazing Night family. And thank you, Marty. Yes, thank you for the matching funds today. Dougalog, thank you very much. He says, big salute to Marty for matching. Thank you very much. And Max says, I remember seeing a homosexual who adopted a little boy on TV state that he knew that he was a homosexual at 3. Yeah, this is what they tell us. So, anyway. Citizen of Americaca, Rudolph the indigenous color-nosed reindeer. If we call it red, the communists and the indigenous Americans might be insulted. That's right. Can't be a red skin or red nose, I guess. Oracle of Truth, thank you very much for the tip. And he says, thank you, Marty. Feliz Navidad. Yes. Star Barkley, I've seen the ruins of the cathedral. Walk around it, the modern one right next to it. They left it there as a reminder. Yes. And, of course, you saw, and if you're watching it, not listening to it, you saw that article, that the altar that they put up. And a cross out of a couple of burned pieces of wood, and behind it in gold, Father Forgive. Yes. So is this AI? Well, you know, the interesting thing is there was a little bit of AI there, the bombing stuff, which you probably could tell that. I mean, there's a lot of tells about that at one point when the plane started going backwards. Let me just run it through quickly. But also, as it continued to go, it started making the fire trucks more modern. But the other things that were there, you know, that's one of the good uses of AI. Rather than doing the Ken Burns effect, you know, which we used to have to do that. If we have a still image, what we pan and we zoom in or zoom out or whatever. And that can be effective. It was used by Ken Burns in the Civil War documentary, and he did it so much that it became known as the Ken Burns effect. You can do some nice things with that. But if you take a picture like that, like I did, you got a picture of people walking in the ruins, taken through the remaining ruins of the cathedral, and you see that arch that was there and people picking their way through. If you give that to AI, it'll actually animate the people walking. And if you tell it to, it'll move into the picture, and it does it in a way that is very different than just a zoom. Because as it moves the camera through, it is able to create the surroundings there. And that's what I did with the clip of the ruins of Coventry Cathedral. Right? It's a lot of rumble there, and you see rubble, and you see the buildings standing around it. But it actually moves the camera through, so you get the perspective of movement rather than just making the picture larger to give it some movement. So, yeah, can be used for some aspects like that. And I think that's probably a pretty good use of AI, is to take a still picture, especially one of architecture or something, and move into it. You know, that shot of the altar with the Father Forgive behind it, that was AI moving in for a closer picture. But let's talk a little bit about war this Christmas season. Marines know that we don't kill unarmed survivors for a reason, writes James Webb. He says it's not in line with the U.S. military's history, with its tradition, or with ethical standards. And the problem is that if you look at this article, he does a good job of talking about it from simply an historical, traditional, and ethical standpoint. He talks about the pragmatics of it. You know, if we're going to embrace total war, guess what? The other side will as well. And we can actually save lives of our soldiers if we don't do what Hegseth is doing. It's very reckless, besides being unethical, besides being unchristian. And, of course, that's one argument that he doesn't make. That was codified into the way that we fight wars. And he talks about the difference between the way Germans treated American prisoners in World War II, and the way Americans treated German prisoners, and the way American prisoners were treated in Japan, the way German prisoners of war were treated by Russia. There is a big difference when Christ is taken out of the society here. So the ethics are pragmatic, but a ruthless war, like Hegseth wants, is an abomination, folks. It's like murder, and you don't have to be a Christian to understand that. But as Christians, we should definitely understand, and we should push back against this. I am seeing absolute silence from Christians about Hegseth's murder program, and he has literally worn his Christian convictions or symbols or whatever on his sleeves as tattoos. He's got tattoos all over his body about Christian symbols, and his Christian principles are just that, skin deep. There's nothing there. But the Christian leaders should be pushing back against this, especially Doug Wilson, who is, Hegseth has allied himself with a church plant that Doug Wilson has. Where are the people there speaking out against this? Well, if they speak out against it, he won't come to their church, and they won't get the publicity that they want, right? As the Trump administration continues to kill so-called Venezuelan narco-terrorists through, quote, non-international armed conflict, unquote, whatever that means, he says, it's clear that it's doing so without congressional authorization and in defiance of international law. Again, they are busy making up terms like narco-terrorists and other things like that. They're doing the same thing that the LGBT and the left does all the time. You know, we're going to call you cisgender.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want to be honest with you for a second about how an act of compassion really feels. A couple of years ago, I made the choice to partner with an amazing organization called Compassion International. Why? Because I wanted to sponsor a child in need. It was a nice idea, sure, but I had no idea just how much that simple act would change my life as well. I sponsored Nadia and got to watch her life change right in front of my eyes, going from starving literally alone on the streets to getting the health care and education she needs to reach her God-given full potential. I got to be a part of that change, and the light of that compassion not only illuminates in her, it illuminates now in me. That is the power of compassion. The light of Christ shines on all of us. Feel it for yourself and change literally a child's life. Change the world, and you also change yourself. You can sponsor a child today. Visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
You know, they make up these terms to further their agenda. And the Trump administration is playing those games as well, just like the radicals. Because the Trump administration is a radical administration. The Trump administration is trying to rip out the roots of our society, of our Constitution, and our rule of law. And make no doubt about it, they're coming after some bad things. But a lot of the stuff that they're ripping out are things that we don't want to have ripped out. They are throwing the baby out with the bathwater. The administration is demonstrating wanton disregard for centuries of Western battlefield precedent, customs, and traditions that righteously seek to preserve as many lives during war as possible. Continuing down this path will not only stain our national honor, but it will spread like spilled ink. It will also ensure reciprocal treatment of our troops. Think about that, right? The most egregious example of this abandonment of American civility on the battlefield is the now infamous double tap incident, which occurred off the coast of Venezuela. As they allegedly called for help by radio, you had a couple of men, unarmed, effectively vaporized. Rand Paul said that those who were deliberately killed in the second strike, he said, it's a debate. It's a debate if they were ever a threat. According to the Pentagon's own laws of war manual, again, a gross violation to kill people who are shipwrecked. However, it is deemed legal under Hegseth rules. It is ethically, morally unconscionable. It is severely damaging to America's reputation. This kind of action is not in line with the U.S. military's tradition or its ethical standards. Instead, it is the kind of act that made German U-boat crews infamous in the 20th century. And it's one of the reasons why that's in the rules for America, because when somebody's shipwrecked, you don't finish them off, and that's what the U-boats were doing. It wasn't enough for them to disable, cripple, or sink. They had to kill the people that were there, the survivors. During World War II, our reputation for just and humane treatment of our adversaries led directly to millions of German soldiers surrendering to the U.S., undoubtedly shortening the war and preventing additional American casualties. It should be noted that less than 1% of Germans captured by the U.S. died in captivity. Overall, the number of surrendered Germans dwarfs the number of Germans that U.S. troops killed on the battlefield. Further, many of these Germans intentionally fled away from a Soviet army known for its barbarism, fled to the Western Front in order to surrender to advancing Americans. This is a historical fact, and I think it's very important for us to remember this. You know, the Germans, do you want to have to kill every single one of them? That's going to cost more lives of your people. And that also means that they will give you prisoners of war, no quarter as well. And we could see the fact, and it's been well known, that the Germans wanted to surrender to the U.S., not to the Soviets. Clausewitz may have summed it best when he said, war is a continuation of politics by other means. In other words, the objective is not just to kill or to simply slaughter. Without question, during war, violence must be used and is used, but it is applied to achieve a specific political outcome. In other words, the capitulation, not the massacre of an adversary. And this is the difference between war and genocide, folks. This is why people criticize what Israel is doing in Gaza. And if you're just focused on eradicating every single person, killing them all, as Hegseth has said, that is not moral, that's not just, it's not even smart politics. And so, again, you're looking for capitulation of an adversary. In short, if violence is tailored and you kill only when it is necessary, it is your legal, moral, and ethical duty to preserve life, both civilian and combatant, whenever you can. And as we see with the Coventry thing, the practice that the Germans began with coming after civilian populations, what happens is that people see that breach of ethics and morality, and they respond in kind. You know, they bombed Coventry. Later on, we bombed Dresden, firebombed it incessantly. Well, it was justified because of Coventry, they said. You know, well, what about Coventry? That type of thing. And so the real, a really important thing that came out of World War II that I've mentioned many times before is the idea that we don't try to save the lives of non-combatants. And so now we're at the point we're acting like Santa Ana or something. We just execute everybody that's there, whether they are combatants or not, whether they're still in the fight or not. We just execute and kill everybody. And that's going to come back on our own troops and on our civilians as well. Over the duration of the conflict, nearly 99% of U.S. POWs captured by the Germans and Germans captured by the U.S. returned from captivity unharmed. This was not the case in other theaters of war. As a matter of fact, you know, it was a big deal for the Great Escape for when they executed those prisoners. That was a big deal, and it was because it was atypical. The Japanese were doing that kind of stuff all the time. The Russians were as well. This is not the case in other theaters of war. It was rare for the Japanese to take American prisoners, and if they did, more than 40% of them died in brutal captivity. Take a look at the bridge over the River Kwai, for example. But they also experimented on people, and we brought, rather than execute the Japanese who had experimented on American prisoners and the Germans who had done the same thing. We brought them in and put them in charge of our biological and chemical warfare units. We became the monsters that we fought. And once somebody starts total war, then the other side adopts that as well. Just like once one side starts to bomb civilian populations, the other side adopts that as war. The numbers on the Eastern Front, which was the scene of a clash between two of the most violent ideologies in human history, saw even greater disregard for human life. Again, the Russia, the Soviet Russia, was communist, and they are not going to abide by any moral or ethical principles. Only those who have not seen war close up and personal would dare to revel in bloodshed and violence that it produces. Again, when I look at Hegseth, the guy is just an unbelievable pariah. All he wants to talk about is killing everybody. All he wants to talk about is lethality. That means that he doesn't really get the big picture. He doesn't understand what Clausewitz said, was that war is to achieve a political means, and you're trying to not kill everybody. Right? It's exactly the opposite. And I don't support war for those reasons. As I've said many times, you know, if they're doing it for politics, war is when they tell you who to kill. Revolution is when you figure it out for yourself. And that's why most of our wars are started. But from a tactical standpoint, I understand what he's saying, what Clausewitz is saying. I don't, and it does have some ethical consequences that are positive. Nearly 20 years ago, he said, my father and I had a conversation that remains crystallized in my mind as if it were yesterday. During a sweltering late summer North Carolina afternoon in 2006, my father and I soaked up the AC in his hotel room, clinging to the final moments before I deployed to Ramadi, Iraq, as a Marine infantryman. Attempting to avoid what was to come for a few more precious moments, my brain wanted to focus on baseball, on fishing, on anything other than the impending immersion into a world of violence. But my father, a heavily decorated Vietnam Marine, had other ideas. Interrupting eventually, while locking me with an almost an electric stare, he said, coolly, when you pull the trigger, he said, make sure.
Make sure
it's for the right reason, yeah.
Right reason. The decision will stay with you for the rest of your life.
That's right. And, you know, that's an important thing. People who are in war have difficulty even coming to terms with it when it was something that was done to defend their life or the lives of others who were there, even when it's a just cause for the war. But even more so when it is unnecessary, and they have a long time to think about that. And even if they're in a situation where they're defending their lives and others, if they don't feel that the war was justified, it's very difficult for them to live with that. It's difficult, I think, to live with that regardless. But you better hope that you've got a justified war. And you better hope that in that war, your killing was justified. The administration would be wise to absorb this kind of wisdom before moving further down a path from which neither lives nor souls nor national honor can be reclaimed. I think what Hegseth is doing is so disgusting. I just can't express my contempt for him.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about Alejandra. She lives in a remote community with very few resources and little to no health care. So when Alejandra gets sick, her parents have no real options, no doctors in their community, and no money for real medical care. By the third day, her body was shutting down. She woke up and just long enough to tell her mom, I can't take the pain anymore. I can't keep going. Her parents drove hours to find a doctor who tried everything, but she needed a private hospital, and that was impossible for her family to afford. And that is when Compassion International stepped in. Now, through Compassion, Alejandra was treated, and against all odds, she survived. She lived because someone, just like you, took action. Right now, unfortunately, there are children just like Alejandra who won't survive unless someone like you steps in. Compassion International partners with local churches, providing children with the support that they need, critical medical care, plus food, education, and the hope of the gospel, all in Jesus' name. So help a child just like Alejandra today. You can visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Are you in Texas and are you tired of not being able to play blackjack, roulette, and even craps? Well, guess what? I got the solution for you. SpinQuest.com. That's SpinQuest.com has over 1,000 slots and table games you can play from the comfort of your own home absolutely free with the ability to win real cash prizes. Now get in your big diesel truck and go play SpinQuest today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
The U.S. is pursuing another vessel off the coast of Venezuela, the second such operation this weekend, as of yesterday. The U.S. Guard is in active pursuit of a sanctioned dark fleet vessel as part of Venezuela's illegal sanctions evasion. Again, this is civil asset forfeiture being upsized to the size of a tanker that carries millions of gallons of oil. It is flying a false flag, and it is under a judicial seizure order. Well, again, who are they to talk about false flags? Literally, I guess. Another official said the tanker was under sanctions, but added that it had not been boarded so far, and that interceptions can take different forms, including sailing or flying close to vessels of concern. The move is an escalation of Trump's targeting of a shadow fleet, that he calls it, after he announced a blockade of all sanctioned oil tankers entering and leaving Venezuela. Bloomberg had earlier reported that U.S. forces boarded a Panamanian-flagged oil tanker sanctioned by the U.S. that was en route to Venezuela to load. The White House's National Economic Council Director, Kevin Hassett, said Sunday that the first two oil tankers seized by the U.S. were operating in the black market and providing oil to sanctioned countries. So we just take it upon ourselves to prohibit whatever drugs we wish. Then we can prohibit oil or anything else. And, of course, this is not somebody from the Pentagon. This is somebody from the National Economic Council, the director of that. Yeah, it's all about the money. They're pirates. Anyway, I don't think the people need to be worried here in the U.S. that the prices are going to go up because of these seizures of these ships. It's just a couple of them, and they were black market ships anyway. But one oil trader told Reuters that the seizures raise geopolitical risks and probably will push oil prices higher than when Asian trading resumes today. Expectations of an end to the war in Ukraine could help oil's price gains, help keep them in check, said this person. But will there be peace in Ukraine? That's the issue. Yeah.
What an idiotic statement. No, of course, seizing oil tankers isn't going to have an effect on the price of oil. I kind of doubt that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, it does have a way to work itself through. What happens to the insurance companies when they have to pay these claims and so forth? And it all goes through all that. And so it... people are going to want more money if they are putting their lives at risk because of the U.S. military. So is there going to be peace in Ukraine? Well, we had last week, we were talking about whether the EU had a moment of decision to make as to whether or not they're going to be real bona fide pirates or not. And they blinked. They didn't fully and finally steal all the Russian money that they quote-unquote froze. And part of it was a Macron in France going against Fred Mertz in Germany. And I guess Fred Mertz is going to, Fred Mertz says that Macron's going to have some splaining to do, Lucy. it's being reported that Macron betrayed Fred Mertz by failing to back the German chancellor's push to steal Russian assets frozen in the EU in order to fund Ukraine. As reported by London's Financial Times. The EU leaders failed to agree on European Commission's controversial proposal to use Russia's immobilized central bank funds to finance Kiev's military and economy. And again, this is the lunacy, these sanctions that were done. It's destroying the Western financial system. It's making it very clear to everybody that it can't be trusted, so they're creating other financial systems away from the petrodollar. It's one of the dumbest moves that Biden could have ever made and the EU. But you had division, as reported last week, in Brussels, the Belgian bank there where it's stored in Brussels. They were very much against this. And so it turns out that they were able to get France to join Belgium. Italy, Hungary, and Slovakia, and the Czech Republic also did, and stopped the idea that they were going to confiscate this money and give it to Ukraine. On Sunday, citing an anonymous senior EU diplomat, said Macron betrayed Merz, and he knows that there will be a price to pay for that. The French president didn't publicly object to the so-called reparations loan proposal. Macron privately called its legality into question. Moreover, his team reportedly indicated that France, saddled as it is with mounting debt, would be unlikely to issue guarantees in case the impounded assets had to be returned to Russia. Fred Merz, on the other hand, has lost any semblance of rationality. He's totally war crazy. You look at what is happening in Germany as they have used this this green MacGuffin to destroy German industry and manufacturing, to make it non-competitive with the Chinese, making energy so incredibly expensive, and outlawing internal combustion engines, losing their advantage in that. They are destroying their own economy. And at the same time, Merz wants to go on a military buildup and go into unbelievable amounts of debt in order to do it. Very different from anything that we've seen from Germany since World War II. This is more like the lead up to World War I. Going into debt, building up a military, totally irresponsible in everything he's doing, but also wanting to steal this money. So EU leaders instead approved an interest-free loan to Ukraine that'll be backed by the bloc's budget. Picking up the tab will be taxpayers in all EU member states, except for Hungary, Slovakia, and the Czech Republic. So France and Italy push back against the theft, but they put their own taxpayers on the hook to pay for this quote-unquote loan to Ukraine. Speaking during an end-of-the-year Q&A session on Friday, Putin warned that whatever the EU steals, and however they do it, they will have to pay it back someday. In November, Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov stated that Western Europe had lost the right to have a say in the Ukraine crisis and had effectively removed itself from negotiations due to its obstinate warmongering. And we can all see that. And we can see that with Trump when it comes to Venezuela or when it comes to Iran or to Gaza or whatever. Everybody can see who the instigators of these things are. Moscow has characterized Western European nations' stances as completely unconstructive. And Zelensky, you know, the hopes for this stuff is that there'll be peace. Will there be peace as long as Zelensky is there? Well, RT is saying that Zelensky has to steal the election that he is reluctant to have. And he has to steal it because he's been so corrupt. And the people in Ukraine know how corrupt he is, that in order to stay out of jail, he's got to keep the war going. His preconditions make a mockery of this election, of course. And he's even denying the vote to people in eastern Ukraine, which tells us a great deal about the basis of this war to start with. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in a second. Why then did the West want the war? In order to diminish Russia by using Ukraine as a battering ram and Ukrainians as cannon fodder. And you had a lot of people saying that at the very beginning. You had people saying that here in the U.S., but also independent countries like India, where you looked at the military leaders were saying the same thing there. Secondly, more practically, no peace will last without an end to Ukraine's ultra-corrupt current authoritarian regime. Any talk about defending, quote-unquote, democracy in Ukraine is absurd. Under Zelensky, there is no such thing left. And now, even some Western mainstream commentators are starting to admit Zelensky's authoritarianism. He's nothing other than, as Russia says, a vulgar comedian who started systematically undermining what little democracy Ukraine used to have well before the escalation of February 2022. And again, he was elected in 2019 on a campaign of peace. And his lieutenant, Alexei Arestovich, said, no, it won't be any peace. We're not going to have any negotiations. And those were negotiations between eastern Ukraine and Kiev. Kiev was bombing civilians in eastern Ukraine. And notice how the Western press will talk about the bombings of whenever civilians are hit in Ukraine. And they should talk about it. But they completely ignore the fact that for 5 years before the election of Zelensky and for 8 years before the invasion by Putin, that they had been shelling their own people in eastern Ukraine. Because they weren't their own people. These are people who were culturally, linguistically tied to Russia because Ukraine had been a part of Russia for 400 years. And this is what the situation is in the eastern Ukraine. And this is why Zelensky is denying the vote to those people. Because he knows that they don't want to be ruled by him. That's what began this whole thing. After the CIA, NATO orchestrated coup in Ukraine, that's when these people say, well, we don't want to be a part of that. We want to stay with, we want to join Russia or whatever. And I have absolutely no sympathy for any country or organization that was created by secession, as Ukraine was. They seceded from Russia. And then they turn around and deny the right of self-government and secession to others. Just take a look at the United States under Lincoln. Okay, the Declaration of Independence was a statement of secession. Our country was born on the right of self-government and secession. And yet Lincoln denied that. But the Confederacy allowed the people in Western Virginia to leave and to stay with. When they left the Union, they said, well, you can separate from us and you can stay with the Union. And that's not what Ukraine did. Virginia let West Virginia stay with the Union, but Ukraine would not allow Eastern Ukraine to stay with Russia. So Trump is right to call for presidential elections in Ukraine, but Zelensky has extended his mandate on flimsy grounds and thereby usurped power even formally. The often heard claim that Ukraine cannot hold presidential elections during war, by the way, is badly misleading. It is a misrepresentation of the Constitution. The Constitution only prohibits parliamentary elections in time of war. This is simply a law that Zelensky himself got put in because he doesn't want to have these elections. Zelensky and his fixers are planning to shift the whole presidential election online. And if they do, falsification in Zelensky's favor is guaranteed. Again, same thing we saw with Trump doing a vote-by-mail election. It was guaranteed that we were going to get the outcome that we got, which is one of the reasons why it was so puzzling to me that people would rally around him for January the 6th, because he had set the entire stage for a corrupt election by doing it vote-by-mail. Citizens in eastern Ukraine will not be allowed to vote, says Zelensky. Over the weekend, he erected more barriers to holding a vote, stipulating that citizens in eastern Ukraine would not be allowed to participate. You know those people that he was bombing for 8 years? Do you think they'd vote for him? Of course not. They didn't want to be a part of Ukraine in the first place. Any election in Ukraine cannot be held in Russian-occupied parts of the country, he said. Once again, adding that a proper voting process can take place only if security is ensured. Well, they wouldn't have voted for him even if they weren't occupied by the Russians because they'd already voted to leave. That's why they were being shelled by Kiev. The four areas that Putin has called our four new regions, says our citizens forever, include Donetsk, Luhansk, Kherson, and Zaporizhia regions. They were.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward. But that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Are you in Texas and are you tired of not being able to play blackjack, roulette, and even craps? Well, guess what? I got the solution for you. SpinQuest.com. That's SpinQuest.com. Has over 1,000 slots and table games you can play from the comfort of your own home absolutely free with the ability to win real cash prizes. Now get in your big diesel truck and go play SpinQuest today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Annexed after a popular referendum during the first year of the war. Zelensky's new openness with holding an election has been coupled with plenty of caveats and likely immense barriers. For example, last week he said a ceasefire with Russia must be in place before the elections can be held, at least for the duration of the election process and voting. Ukrainian law forbids wartime elections, he said. But Trump is pressuring Zelensky, whose term ended last year, to hold a vote. But again, it's not the Constitution. It's Zelensky's law that prohibits that. Trump said they haven't had an election for a long time. You know, they talk about a democracy, but it gets to the point where it's not a democracy anymore. And so then American thinker says, so why should Americans die for European tyranny? It's clear that the Europeans want war as badly as Zelensky. And they want war with Russia. And they want to bring war to their own country. Fred Merz wants war to come to Germany. Macron wants it to come to France. And on and on. Starmer wants war to come to Britain. And why? Because they are at war with their own people. They have brought the barbarians inside the gate. They are destroying their industry. They're destroying their society. They're raping and pillaging their own people, and so they need a distraction. After the European Commission levied a several hundred million dollar fine on Musk and his social media platform on X earlier this month, journalist Michael Schellenberger wrote a damning post in which he excoriated Europe's rank censorship and its state-sponsored propaganda. He accused the European Commission of engaging, quote, in a deception campaign aimed at confusing Europeans and Americans into thinking that European elites' goal is anything other than to censor the American people. He pointed out that Musk's fine came while European governments are demanding backdoor access to all private text messages under a pretense of combating the transmission of child pornography. And when we look at this in America and you look at the fact that the FBI, when they're told about Epstein's operation, told about his child pornography, they ignore it for 10 years. They deny it ever happened for 30 years. It's all a game. And they create Plus,
I don't think they're really distributing this stuff over text messages all that much. It doesn't seem like the most secure way. We need to look at every single form of communication between any citizens in our nation to ensure that it's not child exploitation material, is what they're claiming.
Yeah, it's obviously a ruse, right? And it doesn't have anything to do with reality. So they're creating a so-called democracy shield of government-funded fact-checkers that enable censorship by proxy. We've seen this for the longest time. We know how this works. It was done by both the Biden and the Trump administration in the past. European Commission announced the fine to coincide with the rollout of the Trump administration's new national security strategy statement. That was the one where Trump was highly critical of EU, and Trump made this promise. He said, we will oppose elite-driven anti-democratic restrictions on core liberties in Europe, the Anglosphere, until the rest of the Democrat world, especially among our allies. Problem is, the American government is doing this on behalf of Israel as well. The EU is now in the direct violation of the NATO treaty, Schellenberger pointed out. Excuse me. The NATO treaty itself requires member states to have free speech and free and fair elections. France and Germany are actively illegally preventing political candidates from running for office for ideological reasons, namely their opposition to mass migration. And the Romanian High Court, with the support of the European Commission, nullified election results under the thin, unproven pretext of Russian interference after a nationalist, populist presidential candidate won. And then, of course, you have the rampant censorship done by the UK as well. Schellenberger accused the European political class of betraying its own constitution, a document that purports to protect free speech. Everyone has a right to free expression. This right shall include freedom to hold opinions and to receive and to impart information and ideas without interference from public authority. That is in the European Constitution. So just like our government, they openly violate the Constitution. Trump is doing it in terms of shutting down free speech because he's told to by his Israeli masters. The European Commission is doing it because it's part of their globalist agenda and because the criticism is of them and of their great replacement program. How can the European Commission pretend to defend its own charter when it seeks to eradicate the free exchange of ideas on X, when it seeks to censor Americans' speech, when it seeks to spy on citizens' private text messages, and when it seeks to create an army of government-funded NGOs to justify censorship and to push the Commission's propaganda? He said, Germany's entire defense is subsidized by the American taxpayer. There are thousands upon thousands of American troops in Germany today. Do you think that the American taxpayer is going to stand still if you get thrown in jail in Germany for posting a mean tweet? Vance has explicitly warned European elites that America and Europe do not have shared values if you're jailing people for saying that we should close down our border, or if you're canceling elections because you don't like the result. And Vance said when he addressed them, he said, and that's what happened in Romania. You don't have shared values if you're so afraid of your own people that you silence them and shut them up. And look at what is happening in Germany. AfD, Alternative for Deutschland. They are trying to make these people criminals in every way possible, taking away any rights to own guns and other things like that, but also trying to outlaw the party, the political party. In France, the populist party there that was anti-immigration, they conspired with each other to remove their candidates so their vote would not be divided. So even though in a series of three elections, beginning with the European Union elections and then going to the French elections in two series, in each one of those elections that followed each other in close sequence, the National Party's percentage of the vote went up each time. But they were unable to get control of the parliament because the all the rest of the political parties in France conspired with each other to make sure that they had a candidate who was going to be first past the post and was going to make sure that that larger vote percentage did not translate to larger representation. So we see this happening in every one of these countries there. Trump's emissaries worked to deliver peace between Russia and Ukraine. There are rumors on the continent that the European Commission is threatening, behind somewhat closed doors, to sell $2.3 trillion in U.S. Treasury holdings should the American government impose an unsatisfactory peace settlement, that'd be any kind of peace, or outright withdraw military and financial support from Ukraine. Such economic warfare against the U.S. could trigger a financial crash more severe than what occurred in 2008. And so there's an implied threat of blackmail that if you don't continue to fund the Ukraine war, we will pull our money out of the U.S. Treasury bills. The fact that the European powers would consider destabilizing the global economy in order to prolong war on the European continent says a great deal about their twisted priorities. Given how ill-prepared Europe is to fight its own battles without the assistance of America's military machine, it is maddening to watch the deranged posturing of Europe's bellicose ruling class as it salivates for more war. And what is true of the EU in Ukraine and in Europe is really true of America in regards with China. A lot of bellicose posturing by Trump for a war that they can't win. And I don't know they could win the war in Venezuela either. It could turn in, if they want, if their real goal is to get the oil and things like that, it could turn into another one of these quagmires. Once you start to occupy a country, once you decide that you're going to do regime change, you know, we've seen it in Iraq, we've seen it in Afghanistan over and over again. Once you've decided that that's going to be your goal, now you are at a disadvantage. And we've seen America lose one war like that after the other. So we are also watching bellicose boasting about this, salivating for more war, writing checks that they can't cash. While mourning the recent death of a British soldier in Ukraine, UK's Prime Minister Keir Starmer tacitly admitted that a military contingent of unknown size is already operating in the country. This led one of Russia's most prominent political commentators to conclude that nuclear strikes on Britain are inevitable. Should the British people perhaps have a say whether their political leadership will risk nuclear war over Russian-speaking territories in eastern Ukraine? Again, this is the perspective that is always lost, that these areas were Russian for 400 years, culturally, linguistically Russian. And these arbitrary lines that were set up by NATO and others when they gave Ukraine its independence, that is not worth going to war over, to go fight and to free the people from Russia when they speak Russian and are culturally Russian. Meanwhile, the French government is not so quietly preparing hospitals for the arrival of tens of thousands of wounded soldiers in the next few months. They publicly made that statement. We reported that here. Given that French President Macron is reportedly planning to announce a rapid expansion of the country's military service, a significant military engagement on the continent appears increasingly likely. Similarly, Denmark, Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania, Croatia, Poland, and Germany are all working to increase the sizes of their military forces. I think that's true of the UK as well. They're also talking about conscription and Germany. Is this really what Americans want? Must we really permit Europe's totalitarian political elites to recklessly provoke a US-NATO-Russia war? It is revealing that Europe's speech police work so assiduously to censor social media posts that dare to question the ruling class's apparent desire to transform a regional conflict between Russia and Ukraine into a battle royal involving the whole of the continent, and I would say of the world. How duplicitous, how desperate could Starmer, Macron, Merz, and Queen Ursula von der Leyen be if they feel compelled to silence every European commoner who prefers to keep his children safely away from exploding drones on the battlefield? What is the point of defending a royal court of unelected European aristocrats who cynically prattle on about the need to defend democracy while spying on fellow citizens' private communications and silencing their online debates? Why should Americans fight and die for European elites who conspire to prevent non-globalist politicians from holding office and who summarily cancel elections whenever the globalists don't get their preferred outcome? Why should America's military defend a European ruling class that regularly censors American citizens? And I would say the same thing about Israel. You know, why should we partner with them? Why should we defend them when they attack us here in America? And Israel's censorship has been far more effective so far than the EU.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want to be honest with you for a second about how an act of compassion really feels. A couple of years ago, I made the choice to partner with an amazing organization called Compassion International. Why? Because I wanted to sponsor a child in need. It was a nice idea, sure, but I had no idea just how much that simple act would change my life as well. I sponsored Nadia and got to watch her life change right in front of my eyes, going from starving literally alone on the streets to getting the health care and education she needs to reach her God-given full potential. I got to be a part of that change, And the light of that compassion not only illuminates in her, it illuminates now in me. That is the power of compassion. The light of Christ shines on all of us. Feel it for yourself and change literally a child's life. Change the world, and you also change yourself. You can sponsor a child today. Visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Well, Netanyahu wants to attack Iran again, and he's going to come and lobby Trump over the period between Christmas and New Year. And as a matter of fact, you got Lindsey Graham, of course, is all for war anywhere, all the time.
Elevating the risk that the ballistic missiles present to Israel and eventually to the region. We need to replenish your supply of air defense capability, but we cannot allow Iran to get back in the ballistic missile production business that could overwhelm Iron Dome.
Yeah. So we gotta have to get some weapons to these guys. We can't have a war that doesn't include us, says Lindsey. Trump is having declared that the Islamic Republic's nuclear program has been completely obliterated in the U.S. knockout strikes against three nuclear facilities in Iran. Israel suspects, however, the Iranians are still conducting nuclear development activity in secret. Of course, Netanyahu's been doing this for three decades, telling everybody they're just weeks and months away from having a nuclear weapon. And so he's still going down that line. Meanwhile, Trump doesn't want to admit that he didn't get out and destroy the nuclear program. So there's a bit of a problem with their messaging that they have to agree about. Netanyahu is due to visit the U.S.
We should have Gina Haspel on as an expert on hunting for weapons of mass destruction.
That's right. Yeah, where's Gina when you need her? Unfortunately, Gina's not in prison. That's that's where we need her to be. December 28th and January the 4th, Netanyahu will be there to lobby Trump at Mar-a-Lago. He'll reportedly lobby the president to take more military action against Tehran. Again, the same arguments you just heard made against European elites and globalists. You can make again for war for Israel. But Israel has control of Trump and Congress and has a lot more gains in censoring Americans that we have not seen yet with the Europeans. They just aspire to shut down free speech. They've actually gotten Trump and Republicans to pass laws in Florida to tie this to money so they can blackmail people or bribe them. And again, the treacherous actions of the Europeans don't hold a candle to what has been done with Israel in terms of betrayal. Jonathan Pollard. And look at the Trump administration and how they have owned that. Trump pardoning him and then his big donor, Miriam Adelson, shipping Jonathan Pollard back. And Jonathan Pollard didn't just steal information to give it to Israel. Israel then turned around and gave that information to Russia and to China, totally betraying America. And that doesn't even get into the attacks of the USS Liberty, but you have people like Huckabee and Trump embrace one of the worst traitors to the U.S. ever, Jonathan Pollard. He was born in America, but he was a traitor to America. Israeli officials are preparing to brief Trump about the options for attacking it again. So it's going to be a full court press of them telling them how essential it is for him to do it. And they probably, since they own this guy, they probably can get him to do it. He'll say, well, there's new evidence. Yeah, we destroyed everything, but they've been moving really fast, and so we're going to have to go do it again. Israeli officials are concerned that Iran is reconstituting nuclear enrichment sites that the U.S. bombed in June. The timing of the potential new Pentagon action against Iran couldn't be worse given the concentration of American military assets currently in the southern Caribbean. The U.S. is threatening regime change actions against Venezuela's Maduro and cartels in Latin America. The carrier group, the USS Gerald Ford, recently moved from the Mediterranean, where it was closer to the Middle East. However, Pentagon has just this week engaged in new counter-ISIS strikes in Syria as well. And so presumably it would have enough or limited support assets in the region if it were to assist with some new Israeli and Iran operation. Again, look at how we are spread out with this American empire. It's just ripe for collapse. These unprovoked attacks on foreign powers and adventures abroad could grow increasingly unpopular with the American people. And there certainly is a large chunk of the MAGA base which is dead set against the U.S. entering new wars and new conflicts, also at a time when the Ukraine proxy war shows no signs of slowing. So again, can they keep going in this direction? For how long? Will people support it? Or will they speak out against it? Trump has said that if Iran pursued a nuclear weapon, the site would be attacked and would be wiped out before they even got close. So while Trump might be open to new action, the official stance is that there is no need for this at this point. But that won't stop him if he's told that that's what he needs to do. When you look at what's happening with the rebuilding of Gaza, they call it Project Sunrise. I think it's kind of interesting that they put a price tag on it. They said $112 billion in order to rebuild Gaza as a high-tech metropolis. Think about that. When you look at the massive sums of money that we throw around, the hundreds of billions for this, the hundreds of billions for that, and so forth, $112 billion is all that it would take. It's a small sum compared to the kinds of money, amounts of money that we throw around in foreign aid or wars or this or that. And that would be enough to rebuild that entire area into a high-tech metropolis, they say. That's the kind of money that is being squandered by the federal government.
Those are some expensive-looking graves there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but like that joke video about Trump and his casino in Gaza, way more than 18 holes there. Steve Witkoff and Jared Kushner, two Jewish real estate guys, are the ones putting this stuff together. Wall Street Journal reported a 32-page PowerPoint presentation that was labeled sensitive, entitled Project Sunrise. It was developed over 45 days and reportedly presented to officials from Qatar, UAE, Egypt, and Turkey to turn Gaza Strip into a high-tech metropolis over the next two decades. These people are just grifters and pirates. They're murdering thieves. That's all this is to them. Four phases of reconstruction beginning in southern Gaza. It also calls for turning Rafah into Gaza's new administrative center, housing over 500,000 residents. Again, in Gaza, it's about the real estate. In Venezuela, it's about the oil. Pirates, thieves, murderers. As Smedley Butler said, it's a racket. They're gangsters. The plan does not specify where 2 million Palestinians would be sheltered during the reconstruction period. Israel's blockade of shelter materials has left Palestinians sheltering in bombed-out buildings and tattered tents. And in early December, a severe winter storm caused a dozen fatalities. About 95% of Gaza's tent camps have flooded due to heavy rain. Both Witkoff and Kushner come from prominent Jewish real estate families rooted in New York's property sector, with careers built around large-scale, high-value developments and deep financial ties to Gulf sovereign wealth funds. The U.S. would provide about $60 billion in grants and loans and guarantees to back new debt. So there you go. There's your corruption. Public debt, taxpayers will pay half of it, and they'll get some investors to pay the other half in other countries. But we'll be on the hook for this, and guess who's going to make the profits off of this? Trump and his cronies. What does it take to impeach this guy? Why aren't they talking about this? Trump shared an AI-generated demo for Trump Gaza on True Social. Remember that? The bearded belly dancers and stuff. The video, however, depicted his Riviera plan come to life and involved the forced removal of Palestinian population, U.S. ownership, and development of the land for the world's peoples, he said. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and we will be right back. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Even take a photo on a phone, there is machine learning in the background.
Highest quality video capture ever in a smartphone.
In the metaverse, we're going to need AI that is built around helping people navigate virtual worlds as well as our physical world with augmented reality.
Augmented reality is a profound technology.
That includes like your position in 3D space, your body language, facial gestures.
We invented new intimate ways to connect and communicate directly from your wrist.
Everything from virtual reality to designing our own data centers.
Describing what's coming even. It's just so different and new. I've been in this infrastructure business for, you know, 3 decades.
No one has ever seen infrastructure
like that. Yeah, and
now, I expect that these trends will only increase in the future.
In the last few months, we launched voice and vision capabilities so that ChatGPT can now see, hear, and speak. Supports up to 128,000 tokens of context. That's 300 pages of a standard book.
That's all AI generated. Actually, let's add in some Alto Cumulus clouds.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about Alejandra. She lives in a remote community with very few resources and little to no health care. So when Alejandra gets sick, her parents have no real options, no doctors in their community, and no money for real medical care. By the third day, her body was shutting down. She woke up and just long enough to tell her mom, "I can't take the pain anymore. I can't keep going." Her parents drove hours to find a doctor who tried everything, but she needed a private hospital, and that was impossible for her family to afford. And that is when Compassion International stepped in. Now, through Compassion, Alejandra was treated, and against all odds, she survived. She lived because someone, just like you, took action. Right now, unfortunately, there are children just like Alejandra who won't survive unless someone like you steps in. Compassion International partners with local churches, providing children with the support that they need. Critical medical care, plus food, education, and the hope of the gospel. All in Jesus' name. So help a child just like Alejandra today. You can visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
What's going on, Texas? It's Bluff here. Are you sick and tired of going to the rodeo, eating that great Texas barbecue, and sweeping tumbleweeds off your driveway? Well, don't worry. You can take a break now. SpinQuest.com. That's SpinQuest.com is a brand new social casino with over 1,000 games available for you to play from the comfort of your own home. Instant cash prize redemptions, and new players actually get $30 coin packages for only $10. Sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
All right.
Break free of the technocratic nightmare this Christmas and go back to basics with a David Knight Show bookmark and notebook. This high-quality embossed metal bookmark with a full-color design on the back is guaranteed to be cross-compatible with all physical books. And the beautiful faux leather notebook is 100% hacking proof. An ideal gift for fans of the David Knight Show or anyone looking to start a journaling or prayer journal habit. No bells, no whistles, just pen and paper. Available at davidknight.news. Merry Christmas.
David Knight Show. Listening to the David Knight Show.
Whether you're feeling like the blues or bluegrass, APS Radio has you covered. Check out a wide variety of channels on our app at APSradio.com.
All right, welcome back. We're going to talk about what happened in San Francisco over the weekend and what that is a harbinger of. But I just want to thank some of the people who have left us tips on Zelle, and again, Marty is doing matching tips today on Zelle and all platforms. Gregory C., William W., Ryan Forrest, Michael P., thank you so much, all of you, for that. And also on Substar, we had a tip from Paula C. Thank you, all of you, and we've got some tips on some of these other platforms here. Virtue Hope via snail mail says, thank you, Marty, Merry Christmas. And Lance, exactly what is it that they need to do about snail mail?
Just put in the letter that this is for the matching funds.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that, Marty. Thank you so much. Neurodivergent says, thank you, Marty, and thank you for the tip, Neurodivergent. God bless you and the Knights. Merry Christmas to you all. I'm Marty. A tip that he's going to match, I guess. So thank you, Marty. Appreciate that. And Junk Silver, thank you. And thanks, Marty, and says, Merry Christmas to all. And by the way, yeah, Junk Silver, I guess we're going to have to come up with another name for that. Silver's not junk anymore, is it? G-Talent 60, thank you very much. And Brian De McCartney said, Lance, if we send a check, we'll be matched by I Am Marty. And I think you just answered
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I just answered that.
Yes. Yes. And Gard Goldsmith, he says, in Coventry, Richard Branson, of all folks, donated a statue of two people hugging while sending a twin to Dresden. Well, there you go. I guess it's the what about. I guess that we've got an equivalence there. They were both wrong, right? Both of them were wrong. Maybe that's what he's saying. I hope so. Hope that's the message that people get. Defy Tyrant 1776, steal a Twinkie at gunpoint at a convenience store. Get 5 years in prison. Steal a $1 billion ship? Nothing. That's right. And we've got a long tradition of this as part of our drug war. You know, just take people's car, their plane, their business, their hotel, parents' home. Just take it and you charge the inanimate object with a crime, which is exactly what they did with the tanker. This tanker has been involved in some illegal activity, so it's a criminal tanker, and we're going to steal it. Angio Sunita says, if you compare what happened leading up to World War II and what's happening now, it's almost identical. Yeah, history doesn't repeat, but it rhymes. It really does. And Max
fourth
Soros.
Turning. Hmm? Fourth turning.
Yeah, that's right, because it's a fourth turning. And Max says, Soros and the Clintons pushed the whole Ukraine thing back then. Can't blame the Ukrainians. No, but I mean, Zelensky is their puppet. And it's pretty clear that the Europeans want this war. NATO wants this war. And they want war with their own people as well. I mean, look at who they picked to head NATO after he was driven out of his own country. Mark Rutte, who tried to kill all the farms in the Netherlands.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward, but that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Are you in Texas and are you tired of not being able to play blackjack, roulette, and even craps? Well, guess what? I got the solution for you. SpinQuest.com. That's SpinQuest.com. Has over 1,000 slots and table games you can play from the comfort of your own home absolutely free with the ability to win real cash prizes. Now get in your big diesel truck and go play SpinQuest today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Where they have the most productive farmland anywhere in Europe, the people there woke up and threw him out, so then NATO put him in as head of NATO. So Three Little Birds says China has stopped all exports of silver and gold. That's a big tell, isn't it? And they continue to accumulate, to stack it. Bulldog says China is buying silver using CNY at a discount. They could sell it back to the U.S. at a premium if needed. Yeah. Three Little Birds says silver is needed for the AI data centers. It's needed for a lot of different things. But at this point in time, gold is also needed for them to have credibility as they're all trying to move to different economic systems. And that includes, and I think we're going to see this a lot in the next year, that includes the stable coins. The stable coins now, some of them, you know, when you look at Tether, which is Lutnick's thing, Tether has been backing itself, saying it's a stable coin by backing itself with U.S. Treasury bills. Well, they're not necessarily conveying the idea of stability anymore. So they have to start acquiring gold and real estate as well. So that's an important thing to look at for the next year. Three Little Birds says the silver paper industry is collapsed. Possession of real silver is now the real value. COMEX will explode soon because of it, and spot silver will skyrocket. Yeah, that's one of the places where they really expose the dichotomy between what they claim they own in terms of silver and what they actually have. And so that's, again, why you should focus on physical silver and gold. Go to Tony Arterburn, Wise Wolf, and you can let him know that you're coming through us if you go through DavidKnight.gold. He's got the links there to him, and that's how he knows that you're coming through us. But at the very least, try to start setting aside a little bit. And that's why he set up the Wolfpack thing. It's kind of unique to Tony, where you can start to accumulate as a savings program. And you can save something that isn't going to be decreasing constantly in value. If you put your money in the bank, they don't pay you any interest, even in the checking, even in the savings accounts. And it's on a something that is rapidly losing its value. So try to save as much as you, if you can save, try to put as much of it as you can into something that's going to retain its value, or perhaps even go up against the dollar, which is going to be silver and gold. Big Brit is back again, says it's all about wanting to wipe out millions of people in a European war. It's just an excuse. I agree. So let's take a look at this power blackout that happened in San Francisco and went on for quite some time. I think it's kind of a harbinger of the kind of society, of course, when you look at Silicon Valley, the kind of society these technocrats want to impose on us. It knocked out power to more than 130,000 homes. About a third of the city was plunged into darkness. And then it had some knock-on effects that were kind of unusual for San Francisco because they're heavily involved in these Waymo self-driving cars. And what happened was these Waymo cars froze at intersections. and created massive blockades. So if you got emergency vehicles, it's difficult for them to navigate through that. And that's something to think about. You know, Jack Lawson and I were just talking about the vulnerability of the infrastructure on Friday and how easy it is to take everything down. There was a fire in a substation. And people said, well, you want to know why power is out? Here's what it looks like. Here's a fire in a substation. And yet, you know, there's no information about what caused the fire. It could have just been some kind of equipment malfunction or poor maintenance or something like that. But it's not difficult to sabotage these types of things. And that's what we have to look at in the future as we continually push towards these wars with Venezuela or with Mexico or whoever else it is in Latin America. You know, you got people like Alex Jones saying, well, I'm all for that. Let's go somewhere where we can win a war. Well, you might want to think about what happens. It's so easy for these people to come across the border and to engage in this kind of sabotage of our infrastructure that is there. This was done probably just by, I guess we could say, ordinary means. Waymos are paralyzed everywhere. So today is the first time that, it's not the first time that they plunged large swaths of San Francisco into darkness. The power company, on the Saturday before Christmas, one of the busiest shopping days of the year, that same thing happened 22 years ago in 2003 at about the same time. Officials have yet to say what sparked the substation fire. So again, their response to it was to make sure that you had access to the important stuff. What is the important stuff? Well, you need to be able to recharge your devices. So they'd set up an area there where you could recharge your device. Because that'd be one way that you could communicate with people since nobody has landlines anymore. Also get Wi-Fi access. Oh, and then third on the list is bottled water. They put device charging and Wi-Fi access before bottled water or food or restrooms or anything like that. So, again, please stay off the roads and stay inside due to the inoperative traffic lights and the Waymo vehicles that are blocking the intersections and emergency vehicles. So a lot of videos on social media showing stalled Waymos nearly causing collisions. They shut down some of the metro stops as well through the day. So once they get everybody involved in mass transportation and Waymos, and they get rid of individual cars that that people own that run off of fuel, once they do that, they've got us immobilized. That's the whole point for this. So they started stalling at intersections because they're unable to function if the traffic lights are not functioning. So they just freak out and stay there. No power, no Waymo. And no way you're going to get anywhere. Centralized transportation, leaving everybody vulnerable. They shut down the mass transit as well. Well, when we look at how they're trying to shut down society, one of the key ways that they're doing this, of course, is through education. And when we look at what is happening in the UK, they're now teaching British teachers to, quote, spot misogyny in boys and target them for re-education. Always target the boys. You know, this was happening early on with Ritalin, way back in the 90s and even 80s when we were looking at it. It's one of the reasons why we...
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward, but that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Decided to homeschool our boys. For years, UK officials have turned a blind eye to the rape gangs because it might look racist to crack down on foreigners. But now, suddenly, the real problem is young boys who they say are radicalized and becoming misogynists. The only solution, of course, is Orwellian, an agenda to re-educate British boys that might show supposed signs of misogyny. And, of course, as we've seen from the British government itself, that could be somebody correcting a female. Don't you dare correct a female. You need to know who rules you, those that you're not allowed to criticize. So while they talk about how they have to stamp out the patriarchy, they're rapidly trying to establish a matriarchy. According to the BBC...
of that whole Boyhood thing that Keir Starmer was pushing, that show from Netflix that took a true story about, I believe it was a migrant rapist, and then made it about alt-right incels and misogyny and how toxic masculinity is a threat to everyone, and, you know, took a pale British kid as the face of it instead of the migrant rapist that it was, because they don't want to acknowledge these things.
That's right. It was done by Netflix, and they called it Adolescence.
That was it.
Yeah, they were showing it in the schools and everything. And, of course, the real criminal who had done this, if you look at this guy, it was a black young guy. And pictures I've seen of him, I mean, he absolutely looks insane. He looks a lot worse than Nick Reiner, who killed his parents. I mean, he's got this wild look in his eyes. It looks demonic. And but we're not going to pay attention to that. Instead, we're going to reimagine this. That the problem is not the migrants coming in. The real problem are these British white boys that are there. According to the BBC, teachers will be given training in order to spot and tackle misogyny in the classroom, while high-risk pupils could be sent on behavioral courses as part of the government's strategy to cut in half violence against women and girls.
Well, yeah, that's going to fix it. That's the problem is it's the schools.
Yeah, why is it doubled? It's because of the people that have been brought in. They call violence against women and girls a national emergency, adding that the government's goal is to be so ambitious that we change culture. Well, that's the problem. They're changing culture with immigrants. They're changing culture to rape gangs. If teachers are seeing signs of sexually harmful behavior, or they're worried about the attitude of pupils with regard to misogyny, teachers currently don't have anywhere specialist or targeted to send these pupils. So now they're going to set it up. They're going to set up re-education camps.
We have a tragic shortage of concentration camps for children.
Yeah, for white boys there. The focus is largely on white, native-born British men. Why? Well, because those are going to be the people that they have to worry about pushing back against what they're trying to do to people. So, you know, you can put them in re-education camps until you can send them off to war and kill them. They've designated public enemy number one, the white, native-born British men. Despite numerous mass murder events and sexual assaults perpetrated across Europe by third world migrants or children of third world migrants. So BBC cites data from a charity called Reducing the Risk, claiming that nearly 40% of teenagers in relationships are victims of abuse. But the website doesn't give direct sources for this number. It is literally taken from a December Youth Endowment Fund report. And the report's conclusions are misleading, as the 40% stat is largely tied to perceived psychological abuse, including such terrible crimes as, quote, looking at a partner's phone without their permission, or saying something critical about their appearance. The report notes that only 4% of teens in Britain suffer from actual physical or sexual abuse in relationships, and that criteria for that is also very broad. Re-education projects launched along with the release of the Netflix series Adolescence, framing young white British boys as murderers of female classmates when it actually happened with a young black migrant. So now, like racism, children in the UK will be programmed to believe that they are guilty of another original sin, while rape gangs from foreign lands continue to abuse British girls. But it's not just that you see in the UK and in the schools there. It's also something that happened in the U.S., in New York, upstate New York, where most of the students are Native American. And I think this is probably the reason that they're pushing back on this. It is an unusual thing, but we've seen this kind of abuse. It's one of the reasons why, you know, that along with Ritalin and the targeting of boys and other experiences that Karen had as a school teacher is why we decided not to put our kids in. This is a timeout box in an elementary school. And this is, when you look at that picture there, it's like a pine box with a locked door on it.
This is pretty shocking. This is where we keep the really dangerous elementary school students.
It's like a, once they turn into Mr. Hyde, they put them in there and so to keep them under control. The image from the elementary school was odd, a wooden box tucked into the corner of a classroom, tall and wide enough, it seemed, for a small child or two. But the next image of the inside was even more disturbing, bare walls and a padded floor. The photos were posted to social media this week by a former member of the school board who blew the whistle on this and accused officials of building a timeout box for students who have disabilities. Officials also revealed that the box depicted in the social media post was not the only one. Two others had been installed in other schools, according to the superintendent. They say they have now been removed. But I got to say that, you know, going back, and this would have been the late 70s that Karen was teaching school, right, when she first started teaching school. They had open classrooms, so you could hear what was going on in the next classroom, which in and of itself was kind of a crazy thing. But the teacher that was adjacent to her was bullying this child. I think I've probably talked about this before, but it bears repeating in light of this discipline timeout box. And she would, this kid was not disrupting the class or anything, but she was picking on this kid. And he was very, very sheepish. And she would say, stand in that trash can because you're nothing but a piece of trash. And she kept berating him, doing various things, but that was, you know, a key thing as well. So Karen went to the principal and said, this is what's going on. He goes, yeah, we know she's really bad, but we can't do anything about it because she's got tenure. And Karen said, if you can't do something about that, she came home and told me, she said, I'm not going to be a part of this at all. And so that was a big factor in her deciding not to teach. That was the factor, really. And also for us to decide that we were going to teach our own children. We don't want to subject to that kind of abuse. And he had parent-teacher day when the parents came in. His father was very sheepish as well. And he came in and he was going to talk to her about that. And she just cowed him down as well. Karen could hear all this because they just had a small partition that was there. It was absolutely amazing what this teacher was doing to people. And, you know, we look at Nick Reiner again. Now they're saying he's prescribed schizophrenia medication before the deaths of his parents, and who knows if that was SSRIs or maybe even the schizophrenia medication that he was given had some of those same types of things. It's very important that we understand who we can trust our kids with. And that was the big failing of Rob Reiner. As he said, we kept sending him to these places, and he kept telling us how, you know, he didn't like it. It wasn't working for him. And he said, we trusted these people because they had their degrees on the wall and plaques. And we thought they knew what they were saying. And they told us, he's lying to you, and you need to keep doing this. And they kept doing it. And they gave him all of these different psychiatric treatments and all these drugs, and it only made things worse and worse. So we need to get ourselves out of the timeout box that we've all put ourselves in and really understand what is happening. And make sure you don't put your kids in that as well. We're just about out of time. I want to respond to some of the comments here. AP Rumbleseat says, dangerous self-driving cars. Foolishness. Part of the Musk AI hype. I agree. How many EVs have blown up thus far? Quite a few, yeah?
And another thing is, even if you're not using it, obviously you're still on the road with these unsafe drivers, but this Waymo thing shows yet another problem with them, in that they can block the roads even if you have no connection to them.
Yeah,
it's like we saw with that guy that did the physical denial of service by ordering a bunch of Waymos to a certain street.
That's right. That's right. And we saw something that was similar to that when we got our family got stuck in a traffic jam just before Thanksgiving up in Buffalo, New York. It was a massive amount of snow, and they're used to that, but it happened so quickly, and at the time that it happened, they had the people there were always relying on the city to do snow removal. So most of them didn't have SUVs or anything like that. They had really small cars. And it happened so quickly that even in an area that is known for getting a lot of snow, you had a lot of very small cars that couldn't navigate it, and they got stuck in various places. And so there's one stuck here and one stuck here, and you couldn't get around them. They were the ones blocking you, even if you had a car that could get through the snow. We did. But we couldn't get around because of the, and it was a mess getting out of that place. So that's really what Waymo is doing to people as well. Yeah, it all started with Ritalin, says NMAX, where they screwed up a bunch of mainly boys, giving them meth-like drug, setting them up for lifelong drug use. Absolutely right. You know, we look at the institutional pushing of drugs. Is it any surprise that our kids are looking at illegal drugs as well? Thank you for joining us, and thank you, Marty, so much for your help and for the matching funds. Have a good day, everybody.
And today, if you put in that this is a check to be matched, you can send in a snail mail check for Marty to do matching funds on.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Marty, again. Thank you.
The David Knight Show.
going on, Texas? It's Bluff here. Do you like playing casino-style games like blackjack, baccarat, craps, and slots? Well, SpinQuest.com, that's SpinQuest.com, has over 1,000 games available for you to play from the comfort of your own home. New players get $30 coin packages for only $10 and instant cash prize redemption. Now, what are you doing? Put that barbecue down, quit sweeping those tumbleweeds, and get to playing.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Career changers, including veterans and active duty service members. Your transition starts here. Go from GI to IT in a matter of months. Become a certified cyber warrior with training at My Computer Career. Cybersecurity specialists are in high demand, offering IT pros great opportunities and a rewarding lifestyle while protecting our people, liberty, and treasured institutions from cyber threats. Deploy your career in IT today at mycomputercareer.edu/CWP, an elite CompTIA certification partner.
VA education benefits are available to those who qualify.